I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I woke up in the morning, hopped on the train. I saw my man, he had an L in his hand. Hiding from the beast, at least I catch a bus before I hit my block. I take a mega hit, frontin' on the good ship. Lollipop, move the hop, so I can put the hip in the grip. Everybody slip so I can make a trip to the dip. Dig a deeper hole, microphone control with the soul. Look at my hot eyes and tell me, how could you be cold? I'm coming to you from the underground. With the thunder sound, number one question, yo, how can I be down? But I tell you, bring your lighter and roll your finger back upon the lighter till you see the fire finger. Go from left to right, then front to back. Herbal leaders giving mic contact. React whenever I hear the head scoping. Don't front, I know you got you open. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the hizzy on a Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday, which means last day of the week potentially. For people that are premium, of course Balls Deep this week will actually be on Friday at 10 a.m so you guys can make sure you check that out. And for non-premium people, you know, we'll see y'all Saturday.
Yes sir.
We also had some premium shows that are coming out or that I already put out. We did the season recap of Preacher.
Yes.
We put that out for off-season reviews, as well as I talked to Leslie Mack from the Interracial John podcast, and we did a recap of Stranger Things.
Yep.
Which turned into a very, like, a pretty long, good, in-depth conversation. I think anybody that watched Stranger Things will enjoy our, like, review of it and some of the questions we had around it and all that stuff. And then I just recorded, right before we came on the air, I just finished recording with Ba of Hot Firestarter podcast, or firestarter.com podcast. We just recorded a spoil review for the Jason Bourne. So
And me and you did Suicide Squad,
and Karen and I did Suicide Squad. I mean, hey man, we stay grinding. If you're premium, you're getting your money's worth. I've been putting, making sure all the archive episodes are getting up too, because I had kind of lost those in the shuffle, but putting them in the RSS feed. I think I got up to like 270, 280 today, which is cool. That's like basically about 100 and something more than were on there at first. I want to say I had stopped at like 160 or something like that. So yeah, we're grinding, man. That's what we do here. We definitely not gonna get outworked no matter what happens. Of course, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews if you're enjoying all these things that we're doing. Leave us 5-star reviews, and we will read them on the air as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 602 that Bobby Schmurder has been in jail. And that's right, 602. All right, let's kind of get into some stuff. You watching the Olympics, Karen? Yeah, I only watched a little bit. I watched some of the swimming last night. And Michael Phelps was dominating.
Yeah, they had a meme of him which was hilarious, with his hood on, like a hoodie over his head. And people started making a Sith Lord jokes and shit like that. But I mean, literally, this man is fish.
Yeah. I have to say, I think Michael Phelps might procreate by having his wife lay her unfertilized eggs on the seabed floor.
Yeah.
And then he swims in and shoots his sperm into the water, because he's got to be at least half dolphin
something.
He's not a real person. Like, I'm surprised he doesn't talk in the dolphin, like Flipper, you know what I mean? Like, that dude is that dude's something else. So I forget who said that. It was like William B. West, I think, on Twitter said something like, y'all cheering for y'all cheering for Michael Phelps today, but when he comes back leading the Atlantean army,
with his crown, you won't be happy then.
Look, so real
shit, y'all gonna wish Superwoman and the whole team was real then.
Think it's a joke when it ain't.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Bevel. They're no joke. The first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. And also, we're brought to you by Loot Crate. Mm-hmm. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT. You can get $3 off of any new subscription. This month's theme is anti-hero, and you need to get your subscription started by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, or you will not get this month's crate, and you're going to want to get it because it's got a lot of sweet, sweet stuff in there. All right, let's talk about news. All kinds of stuff is happening in the news these days. Let's see, where should we start? You know what? It's been a few days. How about we talk about some LGBTQ news? Depressing news.
Right, you better party up front.
That's the only way.
I'm trying to tell you.
I was about to cry. Christian Diner stiffs a waiter and leaves an anti-gay Adam and Steve note. So this happened in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm sorry. A group of customers left a homophobic note instead of leaving a tip. I swear we need to abolish tipping. Too many people have their own fucking fucked up agendas,
right,
and they can exert a little bit of power on some random human being, and this is where you decide to just place your bigotry or your bullshit. Right.
Like your little bit of authority in your life.
Trust me, as people who have been waiters, I would much rather have gotten a steady salary.
Ain't that the truth?
Because the great tips do not outweigh the fucking, just the disrespect of the general public in general and negative experiences you get sometimes. I mean, maybe people would still be like, I pay your salary, but I honestly feel like people would treat people way better if they saw them as people that were also making some steady money and weren't totally dependent on them, the generosity of this person. Definitely. Who that you're working for. At any rate, Jonathan Anto posted a photo on Facebook over the weekend showing the note that was left for his friend Eddie Cabrera, who works as a waiter at Chelly's Cafe, along with a receipt showing that no tip was left. A note written on the napkin read, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Cabrera recalled that he was about to cry when he saw the note. They told me your tip is it's in table, he explained. I didn't know till I saw this, and they was rude. But it's my job, so I have stayed quiet. Yeah, see, that's the other thing. They didn't even have the courage, quote unquote, to say that shit to his face.
Right.
Oh, your tip's on the table. And then it's like, ha ha, run to the car. Today was one of those days when someone put myself and me, my everything down, Cabrera wrote. It wasn't just her, was her mom and brother or boyfriend. Cabrera said that the diner who signed the credit card, Nisha Martin, later contacted him to apologize. I never meant for any of this to happen. Honestly, she insisted in the marriage to Cabrera. Even though I'm not the one who wrote it, I can't, I guess she meant wrote it. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything but take full responsibility for it because my credit card was used and I was the person who did it. I was with the person who did it. Yeah, you sat there and let them do it thinking that shit would be funny. You know, that, like, see, that's the other part of this shit. A lot of this shit happens because you didn't have the courage to tell your supposed friend mm-hmm. that they were being a dick.
Right.
Like, I don't expect people to agree with me on everything. Lord knows I don't. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not some stickler where it's like Twitter, where my friend said something problematic, or you and my family, get the fuck out of my family. Like, it's not even that crazy. But if you say some shit like that, I will let you know where I stand. I'm not scared of you. You know what I mean? So if you say some ridiculous, bigoted bullshit, or you think this shit is funny, I'm gonna make you sure you know that day, like, yo, this is wrong. And you cannot do this shit around me.
Right.
Like, I can't control you, and I definitely can't read your fucking brain. I don't know what you think inside you. What you won't be doing is acting like this around me. And the fact that it's attached to a tip makes it doubly worse. Like,
right.
It's already bigoted, homophobic, ridiculous. But then you attach it to someone's worth. That's what you're really doing when you're tipping people. You're telling them this is what your work was valued at.
Right.
And because this person was gay, your work was valueless, and you decided to insult them on the way out. No, you're not writing that shit. Not on my receipt. And if I see you writing it on yours, I don't give a fuck if we pay separate. If I see you write it on yours, you're not ever rolling with me again, and I'm balling your shit up. Like, I don't know why people can't do that. Like, don't send me a message afterwards, because I feel like you sat there and giggled and kikied and act like it was all good.
Right.
And then later you tried to pull the, I'm so sensitive, I was really worried and concerned. You weren't, though.
Ain't that, no, you were not.
It wouldn't have happened if you were. Sorry. Anyway. No, not sorry. Fuck that. Speak up, man. Too many good people, quote unquote good people, are like good cops. Like, I mean, I didn't shoot the nigga. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just sent a couple text messages calling him a nigga. I don't see what the problem is. Jared Leto, he did an interview and he said that gay actors don't get the same chances as straight ones. So of course he's famous I think he actually won an Oscar for the Dallas Buyers Club, or maybe it was Best Supporting Actor, where he was straight. I think Jared Leto was straight, but he was playing a transgender person.
Okay.
In this movie. I didn't see it, so that's why I don't know exactly. But,
okay.
Which happens a lot, you know, actors will be like, I'm straight playing a different gender or different sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like you get a boost, almost like, oh yeah, that's great acting. You know, that is great acting, obviously, if you can do that. I don't want to belittle people's acting ability, but a lot of people that are gay have to play straight roles all the time, because most roles are written for straight people.
Correct.
And so that's also great acting, except it may have to extend into your regular life, because,
oh, come on now,
because don't nobody want to support a gay dude at a box office, or you're worried about the backlash or whatever it is.
Right.
So he was basically saying that he doesn't think an openly gay actor would get the same opportunity to take the chances that he's taken for having taken unconventional roles. He's 44 years old. He told GQ Style that he still thinks an actor's sexuality directly impacts his or her chances on Hollywood success, even though he wishes it was different. I definitely don't think a gay leading man would have the same opportunities as a straight leading man, he said. I don't know if that's offensive or not, but that's my thought right now. It shouldn't be that way. Of course, he starred in Suicide Squad. And he went on to note that he believed that an openly gay actor's opportunities in Hollywood are about the same as they are for any other minority group. I think that this is still a very conservative business. Leto has been more open to exploring sexuality and gender identity on the big screen when compared to many of his contemporaries. His turn as Rayon, a transgender woman in the Dallas Buyers Club, won him a 2014 Academy Award, even if some trans activists and critics were incensed by the portrayal. Noting that he never had a specific idea of masculinity, Leto said, "We're in an interesting time right now where people are exploring all kinds of different areas, ideas of identity, not just masculinity or femininity. I think it's okay just to be yourself and whatever that entails." Openly gay stars like Zachary Quinto, Matt Bomer, and Neil Patrick Harris have been making their own respective waves in Hollywood for some time now, so here's to hoping they'll be given the same shot at mainstream success as their straight counterparts moving forward. Yeah, I can't even imagine the head trip that it is too, because it, on the one hand, it's like you're gay, and if with that lived experience it can inform characters and roles and things of this nature if you're playing a gay person, but at the same time, how many roles are written that way, and do you want people to basically typecast you or stereotype you out of roles? So it's like, right. Oh no, we can't have this guy, you know, like we would rather have a straight person play gay than a gay person just be quote unquote themselves. Like, it's not acting anymore, you know.
It's still acting, because if you bad at it, people will tell you you bad at it.
Yeah, like I think I saw that new Hitman movie. It was on like one of HBO 75 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and Zachary Quinto's in it, and Zachary Quinto, you might know him, he's Spock in the new Star Trek movies.
Okay.
And in there he's coupled up with Uhura. And you know, like, so he's played roles where he was Siler in Heroes and stuff, so he's played roles where he's straight or whatever, and he kind of like came out, and he still has gotten some more roles where mm-hmm. it's, you know, seemingly his sexual orientation is straight in the roles, or it's a non-factor in the role,
right?
Which is good, which is some forward progress, because you know, I do feel like a lot of times, or at least my concern was that it would be like, oh, you're gay now? Well, okay, you just only play gay roles, you know?
Yeah, happens a lot.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris played a straight dude in a lot of stuff. Like, and I mean, I think he even...
He's been around for years, right?
Yeah, and he was in that horrible, horrible A Million Ways to Die in the West or something like that, whatever that was, 8 Million Ways.
Was he a kid actor too, right?
Yeah, he was Doogie Howser.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. I thought he was Doogie Howser, but I ain't gonna say to be wrong. But yeah, he was Doogie Howser. Okay.
Yeah, but it's the same kind of thing where, you know, he had this exposure where the assumption, people always assume people are straight, and you have to, and then he came out, and then it was like, okay, so now what's Hollywood gonna do with opportunities for him? Is it just gonna turn into, well, we can't give him this anymore because he's not, we know he's gay and the audience knows. And I think, in my opinion, audiences are way more forward thinking than movie industry people give them credit for.
Right.
And they just want to be entertained and see high quality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they really aren't thinking about all that shit.
Who cares?
That's my personal belief. Like,
I just want to enjoy whatever it is you're presenting to me.
And this is the same. And I don't want to buy into this idea that it's impossible or it can't be done, because this is the same movie industry where conventional wisdom is like, black movies can't do well, despite them doing well over and over and over again.
Fucking surprise every motherfucking time. Get out of here.
So, I don't wanna believe in that. Ugandan police storm a gay pride event and arrest at least 15 activists. Now, that's so wild, cause you're at the pride event.
Right, so you know, got the right to have the event, so they just...
Like, who knows, like, I'm assuming you get permits and stuff like this.
Right.
You probably have the police there, and you expect them to protect you.
Correct.
Right, but with some of the issues that are going on in some of these countries, like, which is so ironic, because it's an influx of Americans that are too homophobic to practice here that go to these countries, and they spend a bunch of money, and they basically try to corrupt and buy up the government. Mm-hmm. And they do all the things they wish they could do to gay people here,
right?
But like, they go there and do it legally. Like, let's outlaw them, let's put them in jail. Like, it's I can't imagine the hatred you have to have in your heart,
billions of dollars,
yeah. Even in the name of religion,
right?
The hatred you must have in your heart,
right?
You caught a plane to go somewhere to be the when you could be more free to be bigoted. I forget the name of the documentary I watched. It was called, I think it was They Call Me Kuju or something. It was like this documentary. Yeah, the Kuju, is that right? Let me make sure. But it was this documentary about, and I may have talked about it on, I may have talked about it on the show before. But it was about, yeah, They Call Me Kuchu, is K-U-C-H-U. It was a documentary for in 2012 that was about basically the LGBT scene in Uganda. I believe it was actually Uganda. It was sad, but it was also kind of like people were finding joy where they had it, and there was especially a joy and a freedom in being out, and there was a joy and a freedom in building community, but everybody was just against them, you know. And then the added element of danger, like they were arresting people were getting killed, like it was, you know, it was just like, what a scary notion that you can't be yourself without risking death or incarceration. And it was American money that was like American religion and shit that was an influx over there, influencing everything. And one of the reasons that they were able to like kind of fight back was because the president and the United States got the United Nations together and was like, we will stop giving aid and stop doing things with your country, mm-hmm. if you pass these draconian laws. But it really got right to the last fucking second. Now that was in 2012,
right?
Who knows since, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it has passed by now, maybe they don't give a fuck, maybe the religious people put enough money in there that they were like, okay, like
we'll just let the people suffer basically.
Yeah, you know, because it's kind of like North Carolina where you really only got to convince the people in power to do some evil shit,
right?
Because the average citizen does is not much you can do when you're living under this kind of corruption. And it was just, you know, extremely sad, but it was also, I was glad I was able to learn something from it. But here we are in 2016 and they have a gay pride event and 15 people get arrested. They were accused of an illegal gathering, promoting homosexuality, and promoting homosexuality. Yeah, gays and lesbians experience considerable hostility in a large conservative East African country, one of 37 countries on the continent where homosexuality is illegal. They often live secretive lives, fearful that coming out will attract stigma, hostility from family and friends, or the loss of a job or an apartment. Yeah, they'll kick you out of where you live. I know there were women in the documentary that were lesbian, and like families would do stuff like hire people to rape them, like to try to rape them straight, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, like I said, it was like a powerful documentary, and it just lets you know the threat that people live under constantly. There it's almost like unimaginable here, but obviously when you see it and when you hear people tell their stories, it's just like, how, what kind of heartless monster do you have to be to want to do these things to people?
Right.
But yeah, so they arrested them, man. They said the police were dragging people, they were beating people, they were undressing people, they were undressing especially transgender women. Apparently they wanted to find out whether they were men or women, you know, to be like, oh, you going to men's prison, you know, you have a penis, so we're saying you're a man.
But you're embarrassing them, stripping them naked in public, just so basically this is just a shame,
dehumanizing them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's say also Kayima Emelian, a police spokesman, said that they were had dispersed the gathering because the organizers had failed to notify them of the event.
I doubt that. They
first
knew.
Of all, y'all the motherfucking problem.
They knew.
Even if we didn't tell y'all, we didn't tell y'all because we knew y'all was gonna do this shit. You know what I mean? You guys are an extension of the oppression that we're feeling, you know? Like, no, we're not informing you. We just showing up because y'all motherfuckers gonna show up and try to kill us anyway. So yeah, a large group of people gathering, they need to tell police, but also they were likely to engage in promoting gay sex, which is illegal in Uganda. Uganda triggered widespread Western criticism after it enacted a harsh anti-gay law that handed out life sentences for some homosexual offenses. A constitutional court later overturned the law because of legal technicalities. Yeah, people taking out other countries saying we're not going to fund you.
Right.
Despite threats by some lawmakers that the bill will be reintroduced in parliament, that has not happened, and analysts say it will be unlikely to succeed in the face of strong pressure from Western donors. Police arrested at least 15 participants in Thursday's incident and took them to the nearby police station where they spent about 2 hours before they were all released without recording a statement or being charged with any offense.
Word.
Right. Like, I don't know enough about this country to talk about constitutional rights and shit, but come on, man. That can't be okay.
Right. So yeah, basically, you did this just to disperse the activities. Hold me for 2 hours. Probably waited till everybody went home. Was like, all right, y'all can go now.
Yeah. So yeah, at the station, they said security personnel taunted the homosexuals, took their pictures without their permission, and tried to touch them to ascertain, especially for the transgender individuals, whether they were women or men. It was very, very, a very, very degrading process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uganda police have raided similar events before that, with officials accusing organizers of assembling illegally and promoting the gay lifestyle in Uganda. Yeah, when you hear the people talk like that were against this, I mean, they sounded like children. I mean, except they're much more dangerous and powerful, but it was like they are having sex with boys, they are making little boys gay and shit like that, where you're like,
wow, that's not the same, sweetie.
Right, like it was a whole lot of, they gonna make everyone gay by being gay. No. Like it was a disease that was spreading.
No, me being gay and being a pedophile is not the same.
Yeah. But let's get to some old fashioned homegrown bigotry. Transgender rights battleground. I mean, this is the problem with some of this shit is like, yes, it seems worse over there, but it's like, we don't have any fucking room to talk.
No, we do not.
You know, like I saw an article that was about, Israel was saying the mayor It was someone in Israel that was basically like, hey, Palestinians cannot swim in the pool with us. And I was like, that's so ridiculous. And at the same time, I'm like, they probably be looking at us like, y'all can't say it's ridiculous. Y'all don't let niggas swim in the pool. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
y'all
not too long ago, you had colored pools.
Yeah, y'all killing black people in the streets daily and talking about all lives matter. What the fuck are you to tell us we can't be racist?
Right.
Yes, we gonna be racist, xenophobic. Y'all have a fucking half of the country ready to vote for a racist xenophobe right now. And I just, like, I had to laugh at the absurdity of it all. Just,
right.
like, how the fuck can we even say something? Like, I'm like, damn, this is disgusting. But I'm disgusted with the country sometimes, my country. So, what can I say, you know? I see why Gabby ain't put her hand on her chest.
Come on, dog.
Before y'all write in, I know that she said she just didn't mean to. I'm just saying. but yeah, the transgender rights battleground shifts to birth certificates in Florida. Now, isn't this funny? I mean, off the wake of We Are All Orlando, We Are All, about Anderson Cooper? I do support gay rights. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Well, in courthouses across Florida, judges are being asked to decide whether transgender people may change not only the name on their birth certificate, but also the gender marker or the box that designates their sex. The requests have been increasingly common, say lawyers who litigate such cases, and they've become increasingly contentious. On Friday, a Tallahassee judge held a hearing in a case involving a Broward County teenager who had asked state health administrators to change both the name and gender marker on his birth certificate. The child's birth certificate identifies him as female, but his parents say the youth, who is about 14 years old, identifies himself as male and wishes to live his life with a male name and male characteristics. The Department of Health, which oversees vital statistics, has denied the request. And at the federal courthouse in Fort Pierce, a judge has been asked to declare unconstitutional a law that forbids convicted felons from changing their names. The request was made in 2015 by an inmate at the Okeechobee Correctional Institution. The inmate's legal name is Justin Lee Knobber, though she now is using the name Stacy Lorraine Knobber. Knobber is, or neighbor maybe, N-A-B-E-R, is serving a life sentence on a Pasco County conviction for a second degree murder. Through her attorney, Danielle Tilley of the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida, Knobber, or neighbor, maybe pronouncing it wrong, said being called by a name that matches her gender is a necessary element of her psychological health. Being called my female name is like magic. It's beautiful, she said. It's something I can't even describe. I feel truly at peace with myself. It's who I was meant to be. It pains me to know that I've asked politely and through the proper channels to be called Stacy by repeatedly denying me. It's like they don't care if I get treatment. Yeah, they don't. Under health department policy, Floridians may amend both the name and gender marker on their birth certificate, and in recent years, petitions to do that have become more common. Gender markers are more difficult to change. The health department requires a notarized affidavit from a doctor stating that the petitioner has undergone surgery to reassign his or her gender, a procedure that generally is not covered by health insurance, which surgeons are reluctant to perform on minors. Yeah, you know what's so interesting?
Why do I have to have a surgery?
Yeah, what's so interesting about this is so much of the resistance to learning about and respecting people that are LGBTQ or whatnot is honestly people just don't want to change.
Right.
Which is so weird because it's like it really doesn't change anything for your life.
Don't affect me at all.
Like if in part of my ignorant language, but if someone was really on some like, you're a dude and I don't give a fuck what you say, you're a dude to me, you will always be a dude, it doesn't change anything for you. Like, you can have that stank ass attitude, and literally how this other person lives their life doesn't change anything in your life. Like, your actual life continues the same way with the same amount of privilege and all that shit that's right. been going. And but yet people are just, it's almost like the tipping thing. Because I have the power to have my, to be able to give an opinion, I'm going to give it. And I want you to feel as bad as possible about your orientation. And I want to add to the grief and the misery. And I'm going to fight it every since step of the way, even though I don't have to.
Right. A lot of effort and energy for nothing.
You could have said nothing. But yeah, it's just funny that it's Florida. I'm sure it's many other states too, but this was literally the, we are all Orlando, we are all da 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 da, not too long ago. And now it's like, but you know, but fuck you then, seriously.
Right. So I guess the situation in Pulse didn't keep y'all on Pulse.
Right. And not to mention the money. It's not covered by health insurance. So now there's an actual, you're adding another monetary hurdle. Post. Between people and the acknowledgement of their gender. Not to mention also when it comes to this stuff, while it's not just like the money is harder to come by for especially transgender people. Because of the way our society kind of ostracizes them and
harder to find work, can't keep a job. A lot of people are less reluctant to hire you, or if they do hire you, you have a tendency to have more discrimination against you. You have a tendency to be harassed more, and a lot of times they're less likely to report because they want to keep the job that they have, because they know they report they're going to have issues, possibility of getting fired. Like, it is not a simple process. A lot of times the hiring rate is lower. It's a lot that goes behind that, and you're a minority, so you have the same struggles as a minority group would. And then for some people in the LGBTQ, it's a double minority. You're black and a minority. So first people look at you and look at you as a brown person, and then they turn around and go, oh, now you get a double strike.
Right, and you have issues such as, you know, a lot of people end up doing sex work. A lot of people end up, which is fine, but it's still a job that is dangerous, and you're not getting, it's not regulated.
Right.
And it puts you in the hands of the law. It puts you in the hands of people that specifically know you don't have anybody that has your back. So it's extremely dangerous, you know, for somebody to be out there. It's not like you can just call the cops on a bad John, you know.
Right, and like I said, I hope one day this happens here. I don't know if it ever will, but if the government was smart, they would actually make it where that was like people actually had places where you could be a sex worker and get paid a flat salary.
I mean, there are places, but you know, it's not enough in our society, like Vegas, Reno, like it's not enough, you know, the way we have it set up. And poverty is a massive problem in the trans community. Transgenderous
problem.
Yeah, they did polls. But for the record, we haven't even done official polling or anything.
And you'll never know all the numbers. It's not on the census,
right. You know. But the respondents to a poll that the Washington Post did, transgender respondents were nearly four times more likely to have a household income of less than $10,000. Compared to the general population, injustice at every turn found. They were unemployed at twice the rate of the general population, or roughly between 10% and 14% through 2008, the year the survey was conducted. So the other part of this is, if you have a job,
if
your health insurance still won't cover it. But the likelihood is that you probably won't have a job, or if you do, you won't be making much money, and you won't have health insurance to cover this. To even tell you we're not covering.
Right. And I think the, like I said, the biggest problem I have, why do I have to have a surgery? Why?
Right.
That
exactly.
is an unnecessary cost. Right. Why can't, if I'm grown, I'm an adult, I pay the, whatever the fee is that says, hey, I want my name changed. Like, you'll change my name with no problem.
Yeah. You should be able to switch this shit. Like when I switch, the address and get a new license sent to
right
my
I
house.
Should be able to log online,
yeah,
fill in the information, pay the little fee, send you the paperwork or whatever, check a box and move the fuck on.
Because what the fuck does it matter to you?
Right,
you know what I mean? That's the part I don't understand. What does it matter to everyone else that we have this order, quote unquote, when it comes to sexuality? Like it needs to fit in this box, or that is it. If your sexuality does not fit in this box, you don't comply. Like, we gotta find a place to get you, put you. Like,
I'm not in your bedroom. I don't care what you do in it.
Right. It's so weird. But I mean, it's not really, I guess weird is the wrong word. It's we're the weird ones. The vast
right.
majority of we're people seem ones. To be more about the fact that you need to neatly fit into where society has decided you should go. Let's see what else happened. Supergirl star Jeremy Jordan begs fans to help rescue his cousin from an ex-gay camp. Sarah's parents sent Sarah away against her will to an East Texas Texas Christian boarding facility for troubled teens to pray away the gay, the actor writes. Supergirl star Jeremy Jordan is asking fans to help rescue a 17-year-old cousin from an ex-gay conversion camp in Texas where she has been placed against her will. Man, I'm glad Obama made sure that the federal government stopped funding this shit.
Right.
None of this shit should have ever been funded. Like, it's been debunked and everything, but people still do this, and it's just torture. Because I can't imagine my parents sending me away to be like, all right, now we're going to send you to a camp so you to be the gay. Like, how the fuck that's going to change? Like, that doesn't even make sense.
That's not me. What are we talking about here?
Right. I'm not going to be like, you know what? I was learning to build a fire. And I was able to be gay. I just needed to rub some kindling together, and that was the secret. I went to gay camp, and now I came back gay. That's not how it works for me.
Yeah, and
the logic dictates it wouldn't work in reverse for anyone else.
No, and it would not surprise. I don't know, but it would not surprise me if people go, "Oh, I now know I'm not the only one."
Yeah.
And, you know, now I have other, you know, people to contact and shit like that. Like, it's almost like.
I mean, to some extent, on the bright side, maybe people do go there and it's like everyone can kind of form a bond.
It's still fucked up, but yeah.
But the problem is the counselors, the adults, they're not just, and it's not just that they're telling you you need to be straight and stuff, and they're trying to teach you this stuff. They are also, shaming you using religion in a lot of cases.
Right.
Religion these kids grow up believing in.
Mm-hmm.
like, you know, I'm sure this shit leads to like suicides, horrible self-esteem, guilt complexes, right? Like a lot of negative shit. It just should be outlawed. You should not be able to do this to a human being, send them away to some fucking camp and be like, the way you are is wrong, fix it, you know. I you know, especially against their will. She this girl's 17.
Right, she's not making this choice on her own, and she's being forced. And I think for me,
you're talking about going to the camp, right? Right. Okay, just want to make sure.
And also, it will be put like this: a lot of people, even brown people, don't that are straight, don't care. It will be like somebody taking black people and sending them, or brown people and sending them somewhere, and go, "We're going to show you how to be white. We're going to teach you to change the color of your skin." People will be up in arms. It's not the same, but it's similar, because people will have a fucking fit. Why are you sending my child here? Why does my child have to learn how to be white? Why can't my child just be who they are? Why are you trying to change the orientation of my child? There is nothing wrong with my child. Okay, you see it from that standpoint. Why can't you see it from this standpoint?
Because you're the one sending them.
Right.
And this scenario is just different. It's no one took your kid and sent them without your consent. People are sending their kids. Like, they're the ones. They're the problem.
But
like,
they can't see it. But yeah, they can't see it. It's the same thing.
Yeah, well. Anyway, I hope they save his cousin, man. I don't know what that would entail. They got to break in somewhere or what.
Right.
I say, while you're there, free everybody, okay? Don't everybody. Be like Liam Neeson and Taken.
Just come for your daughter.
Yeah. Like, he came for a daughter, his daughter. He's like, oh, her best friend died. Oh, well.
Oh, well, baby.
I got shit to do.
All right. I'm sorry you got that needle in your arm with my daughter.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to some other news. This is still pretty terrible news. Might as well just start with it first.
Okay.
So, you know, the judge in the Stanford swimmers sexual assault case, where he gave him like a slap on the wrist and put him back out in society, basically. Mm-hmm. Apparently he gave a child porn offender in jail, he put him in jail for just 4 days.
Why is he still on the bench?
Right.
I want to see how he rules on things for brown people. Like,
did he oversee? Maybe he oversaw the R. Kelly case. We don't know.
Yeah, we got to see how he rules across the board, because obviously he gives zero fucks about people committing crimes.
Right. Well, yeah. Apparently, he sentenced a 48-year-old Robert James Chain to less than a week in jail in 2015 for possession of images depicting sexual abuse of minor children.
Yeah. Somebody asked this, and I have the same question. How is this okay?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they both went to Stanford.
Do they have a law? Like, I thought some of the stuff have a minimal law, or yeah, is it at the judge discretion? I you know, because I know this shit varies from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, "Know what? Nah, you 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now you, Docky, you get life."
Yeah. Apparently, Chain pleaded guilty in court after officers found dozens of images and videos in his possession featuring abused and exploited children, including a clip showing a rape of an infant.
Oh!
He spent one night behind bars, a much shorter sentence than is typically granted in cases of possession of child pornography. The defendant sentenced on the same charges, felony possession of child abuse images by different judges in the same county, typically receives sentences of 6 months or more. Persky's critics are trying to have the judge removed from the bench and cite his preferential treatment of privileged male defendants as evidence. He sentenced Turner to only 6 months in jail, saying that a longer sentence could negatively impact the 20-year-old's life prospects. On the same day as the Turner verdict, he allowed a software engineer who violently assaulted his fiancée to serve his sentence in weekend jail, only having to face incarceration outside of his work week so as not to interfere with his job. So he's basically like, look, when people do crimes, I just want them to have the least amount of effect on their day-to-day lives after they do the crime.
If you're white male?
I mean, it seems to be a trend that it's at least men. I don't know the race of every one of these dudes.
I will go back and check his history and see how he ruled.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee you, everybody across his path ain't been a white male or a male.
Yeah. I mean, there may be some racial bias. I mean, he's already showing gender bias. It's not like it's
racial
so
bias.
Far-fetched.
Right, I can guarantee you. Or see how he sentenced women.
Mm-hmm. Mexico launches a nationwide campaign against sexting. The Mexican government has teamed up with several children's rights organizations to launch a nationwide campaign against sexting. The term sexting, it's like sexting is sending sexually explicit messages on phones, like we know this. But the rapid rise of smartphone technology has broadened the definition to include all types of media, from videos to emojis to GIFs to Snapchats. Wait, emojis? Emojis can be sexting now. Oh, I guess the eggplant and that water one.
Yeah, that's if you know what it was, because I didn't know what that was forever.
The anti-sexting campaign, known officially as Think Before You Sex, 10 Reasons Not to Perform Sexting, they got to get a shorter title, has triggered a debate between government officials and internet rights NGOs on whether the practice leads to so-called sextortion, blackmailing someone by threatening to publish sexual content, and revenge porn. Although the campaign means well, critics says it might be overly paternalistic while laying out a prohibitionist strategy. An animated video warns the country's youth about the risk of posed by sexting. The campaign is being headed by Mexico's National Institute for Transparency. Sexting is a latent threat because it starts out as something fun, but it can end up in a grave situation that spins out of control, resulting in social, physical, and psychological and legal consequences for the victims. I guess, man, I don't think it's gonna work though, because this is these things called hormones that, you know,
you cannot control. And the thing is, sometimes people do these things almost kind of productive. Make laws to say if you do this shit, you're gonna go to jail. We know you're gonna do it, but if you publish this, we're gonna arrest you. You do revenge porn, there's crime. You know what I'm saying? Like, make penalties for people to do the shit, because you're never gonna stop it. I'm sorry, you're just not gonna stop that.
But see, the problem is they'll make laws that also penalize people for sending the image in the first place, so you're really much making the victim responsible for their own crime. You see what I'm saying?
So, they're not thinking like me. No, you can send it, don't give a shit about that, but if I send it to you, you post something against me without my permission, that's the crime.
Yeah, but this, their government does care about you even sending it. That's how they decided to tackle this problem, is you can't send it. So I don't want them to pass any laws, because they'll probably criminalize sending it just as quickly as anything else.
Even adults, or did we just targeting children?
It was targeting children, but I'm assuming it will extend to adults as well. It's not like there's gonna be some exception.
Right.
Adults do this as well.
They sure do.
Let's talk about a kid that a lot of people are telling me is extremely smart. This is kid Iman Music on
T-Painting.
Okay, let me refresh then we'll play, because they can't hear the sound until I refresh. All right, we'll just give this a second, and then we'll be right back up, and when I get back up we'll play it. Until then, here's some music for the people listening to the podcast. I'm back. All right, let me know if the audio still messed up in the chat, guys, and if we're good then we'll keep going. Okay, I'm good. All right, so there's a kid Iman Music put a video on his Facebook page and it was going viral. I think it's been shared like 11 almost 12,000 times. Here it is.
Okay guys, now I just came from the park and it's this kid teasing me because I have felons on. Now, mind you, I am not a material person. I just wear felons because, you know, I like the color and I think they're cool. They might not be what's popular today, but, you know, that's what I like. So, you know, I told the kid, it's not about what I have on my feet, it's about what I have inside my head. No matter what I'm wearing, no matter what I have on, it's about my information, the knowledgeable things in life. These sneakers are not even going to fit you in 20 years from now. So it's about what you have in your mind, your wisdom, your knowledge, the power to inspire others. And parents, please don't raise your children like the materialistic type, because, you know, once they don't have Jordans on or cool clothes, they're going to feel like they're not important. They're going to feel like they need the golden or the Jordans or the cool stuff, the popular stuff, to make them feel important. Now,
all right. So what do you think about it, Karen?
About what the baby said?
Yeah.
A very smart child. And for me, there's nothing wrong with desiring these things and wanting these things. But I think a lot of times when people hear that, people get on their politically correct horses and ride off in the sunset and just think, well, you're criticizing people just because they like nice shit. Nah, he's not saying that. Mm. All he's saying is, at the end of the day, what's in your mind is gonna matter more to him than what's on your feet. Like he said, 20 years from now, none of them shoes not gonna fit his feet. Like, you know, and it's one of those things too where if more people kind of emphasize more on education, our system wouldn't be as jacked up as it is. We wouldn't have Donald Trump on the Republican side. You know, like, it's one of those things where we live in a society where education is kind of poo-pooed on. Like, being smart don't mean nothing. It's almost like what you have and can you flaunt it. Yeah, you can, but sometimes those people aren't the smartest all the time.
Nerd alert. Look, got us a little nerd over here. Rocking them Fila's, you little nerdy nerd.
I ain't mad at him.
How about you get some Nikes like the other kids so you can be fresh, and then you won't have to worry about getting roasted all the time.
But you know what? Yeah, he gonna be roasted, but you know what? 20 years from now,
he gonna be a black Republican, exactly. No, 20 years from now,
no, he's gonna be sitting around saying black people made jokes about me. Owning his own company.
Right. Nope. He gonna be running Little Caesars.
Yeah!
Talking about the 999. I'm telling you. Nope. Teach that kid how to Joan. Teach that kid how to talk some shit. Teach that kid how to joke back. Don't get in the car. Cause you know how I know? Cause I lived your life, kid. Mm-hmm. This me talking to me. Don't listen to Karen. She was always cool. She had a Jerry curl and everything. She don't know nothing about our struggle, okay? Mm-hmm. But you know when they started respecting me? When I started throwing them jokes back, dog. You can't get in the car with your parents. Of course your parents think you cool. They bought the Fila's. That's the enemy. You need to start washing cars and get you some Nikes.
Baby, second,
that's number one. But number two, because it's going to be a lot of time between washing cars. I know the return on car washes significantly fluctuates. Okay, it is a law of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. That first car wash, you might get that 10, that 20. It ain't so cute when you're trying to wash their car every day to get that money for them flights. I know the struggle, okay? But what you need to do, son, is go on YouTube, start look up some comedians and they specials. Check out, find out how to Joan niggas back.
Be you,
man,
baby.
Cause they never gonna respect you till you can talk shit back. You ran up in the car like I did when I got punched, and then I'd be like, I should have said this. Like, no, nigga. The time was then. Okay? You took this L one time. That's fine. Okay? But the shit going viral, y'all are teaching him the wrong lesson. You gotta say something back. Okay? Like, make it hurt. Say something bad. I did it. I've done it before. Okay? Kids ain't shit.
That's true.
Sometimes you can't be above the fray. Okay? You can't. That little speech is cute for your parents. You cannot say that shit to some other kids that are joning on your shoes. Talking about some, well, you know, it's what's in your mind. They'll be like, nigga, shut your nerdy ass up. That's exactly what's going on.
He probably said, have you read the new Captain America?
Yeah. You can't say that, dog. You gotta say so. You gotta
and
learn.
I'm not a boy either, so hey.
You just gotta learn how to joke back. I'm not encouraging him to hit nobody or nothing, but they basically clowning you, and you gonna be the clown kid. And if you tough enough to stand that for your whole fucking life, good luck. I say you say a little something back. I know I had to do it, dog. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm taking it there, man. Okay, it's happened. People joked on shit with me or my family or my shoes. I mean, one time I got discovered I had some hoops. They looked like those Reebok pumps.
But they was hoops.
They was hoops, y'all. You can't just go to your parents and be like, it's what's in my mind, mom. My mom, of course she agrees. She spent the $20 on the hoops, okay? Right,
she don't give a fuck about you or your opinion. You trying to be goddamn cold.
She the reason I'm in this situation. That's the enemy. Right, cause you gotta go back to school,
about your coolness.
Look them niggas in their face, and find shit to joke on them about too. So you like, yeah, I got some hoops, but you ain't got no daddy. How about that? And then you have to deal with it from there, dog. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to win, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't listen to this advice Karen giving you.
Nah, that shit sound cool, but you know, when I'm the parent that got to deal with my child being fucking suspended because they brawling because they want to fucking crack a joke.
Sometimes you got to get suspended, but you won't get suspended for cracking a joke. A joke ain't never got nobody suspended. You get suspended for hitting people and shit. Right. I'm not telling him to go and hit somebody, although if they would have put their hands on him, you might have to hit a nigga. I'm just saying, okay? This shit is not, everything ain't fair in life, okay?
No, it's not.
But in general, you have to joke back, man. I'm sorry. You have to joke back, man. I've done it before. Somebody talked bad about my mom. I said, well, that's why you ain't got no daddy. And you know what? He turned his ass around on that motherfucking bus, and he sat his ass down until we got to school. And that's all I have been wanting, okay? He has said that shit to me about 5 days in a row.
You ain't got tired of it.
And so this old go home and talk, give my mom a long-ass soliloquy about how it don't matter what I got on, man, save that shit for the birds, man. That shit is cute. You tell that little nigga, well, that's why you get D's in your classes. Say something that hurt. You gotta say some shit, man. These little monologues work at home when ain't nobody to sit in the background and be like, shut your nerdy ass up. You feel like wearing blah, blah, blah. Like, that's, say something back. You a kid. This is the only time you gonna be able to say something back, for the record. Once you get old, people frown on that shit. You fight back. I don't like you. Fuck that. Anyway.
Ah, we disagree.
That little kid, well, that'll be the pole. Little kid, he gonna be the pole.
Yeah, he gonna be the back. Pole.
I'm not saying he won't be smart. I'm not saying he won't be go on to be somebody and all this shit. Learn how to jump back, man. That's how you become Black Republican right there. You don't never learn to say nothing back.
Then now I do agree with the balance. There gotta be a balance.
You think no kid has ever told me, you speak white, Rod, ha ha ha. Then I jump their ass back. You say something back to him like, oh, I speak what? I speak Black. Okay, that's why your mama's so stupid. She failed a pregnancy test. And then it's like, oh, you know, it was hot back. Obviously, everybody knows it now, but it was hot back then.
Well, it might be good to fail a pregnancy test like that, you know.
They were too stupid to know that.
Okay, I'm about to say. I mean. You might be like, yes.
Yeah, you trying to break down this whole. The point is, when you 10 and you say that shit, it's like, oh, well, I won't talk shit about that kid no more.
Right. Don't even know what the fuck a pregnancy test is.
Right. You know, and obviously, I mean, I can't remember every single example, but, you know, I took real shit from their real ass lives and brought it up, you know, because they talking about my real life, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this nigga shoes. Like, oh, okay, cool, man. Why your daddy drive that piece of shit car, dog? Everybody hear that car coming down the street. Blah, blah, blah. You start doing all that, and then they be like, yo, don't talk about this nigga's shoes. He will go in on your whole family, dog. You talk about my sister being cross-eyed, man. That is so wrong. But he didn't give a fuck because I talked about his shoes. That's the only way to win, little kid. Okay? These little Facebook videos, you're going to be sounding like CJ Pearson later on.
Be looking. It gonna be all lives matter.
He tried to use that Furious Styles logic. Hey man, that shit get you claps and likes and retweets. That shit will not work with no ignorant ass little kids talking about your shoes. You know, you gotta go play with them kids tomorrow.
And like I said, for the record, I'm not a boy.
Yeah, he gonna have a whole series
on YouTube
of him after he get punked being like, okay, so today they said I ain't have a good haircut, okay? Well, let me tell you something. It don't matter what my haircut looks like. What matters is what's inside, okay? So your mind is a gun, and words are bullets. You have to fill it up, and you can have a machine gun.
Is he a future hotel? What's happening here?
All right, guys, I'll see y'all tomorrow after they pick on me again. Nah, man, stop that shit. Tell them little niggas they ain't shit, man. Stand up for yourself, man. Trust me. All right. Anyway, it worked for me. So I lived. I saw that little kid. I said, that's me.
Oh,
I remember saying all that shit in my head. We didn't have YouTube and shit before then. True. I couldn't put it on the internet, but I remember all that. Like, see, a lot of these kids, they just don't realize they the ones with the bad self-esteem. I'm fine. And see, you picking on my glasses, but what you need to realize is that we are all under the system of the white man. We need, man, them little niggas need to hear that, that coat they got was too tight. That's what they needed to hear.
Nah!
And then they left me alone.
You outgrew it last year.
Yeah. Like, why your parents ain't buy you a new coat this year for school? Like, say that. And they be like, God damn, he good. Anyway. And plus, if you're the kid that gets picked on, when you do say something back, it's going to be like times 1,000. Because yeah. I could tell he sat there. What I was thinking the whole time was he sat there, got picked on, and then didn't say shit. And then went to the car and vented to his parents, which is what, you know, it's cool. That's what parents are for. But say something, man. Tell that nigga that his shoes too tight, whatever. You know, like, oh, you got Jordans, but your feet about to poke out or something. And then it puts something back on them, and everybody gonna be like, oh shit, you got Jordans by that kid. You know, we pick on him. Now you cool. You know, not the coolest, but you part of the group is the point. Anyway, or just keep making the videos and good luck with that, man. All right, I don't know. Troy Ave is suing over Irving Plaza shooting. Now, you may remember Troy Ave is the one who started shooting and shot himself.
What?
He's a rapper that shot himself. There was security footage. He's now claiming that the promoter did not provide enough security for the T.I. concert. He also shot and killed his friend, I believe.
But he shot himself.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he killed his friend by accident. Yeah, the shooting left his bodyguard dead and him shot in the leg. However, surveillance video surfaced days after showing Troy storming out of the green room, wielding and firing a gun.
Oh, I remember that. Like that's the dude who kind of walked across in the club and just started bucking. Yeah. I remember that.
And a gun found inside the van that took him to the hospital reportedly matched the ballistics test to the weapon that killed his bodyguard, known as Banga. But hey. It's the venue's fault. Y'all knew I was stupid. How y'all gonna let me sneak a gun in? This really y'all fault if you think about it.
You had a bitch bring no goddamn gun. Why you have a bodyguard and not have your bodyguard be able to kill?
Because I killed him. I'm sorry. I mean, I allegedly, Your Honor.
it was like I want no witnesses.
The King of Diamonds club owner is a rapper named Akinelli. King of Diamonds is a club, I think it's a strip club in Miami.
That's what sounds like a strip club.
Yeah, well, he's actually running for mayor of Miami.
Oh, it's gonna be lit. All the strippers getting ready to come out the woodworks.
I do want to see his campaign ad. Woo! That is true.
It is going to be lit.
Now,
we got a secretary of clubs, sir. We've never had this position before.
Now the thing is, Akinelli as a, like, what do you call it? A political figure. I don't know how that's going to go on, you know, cause the songs I remember him for are like,
so this is a rapper we talking about.
Yeah. He used to rap. You may recognize his songs. I'll play a couple for you. And this is one of his hits.
Yes! I remember this song.
Damn, you knew this too fast.
I remember this. Ain't no intro like it. You could mimic this shit if you wanted to.
She said, put it in her mouth. I mean, her motherfucking mouth. She said, put it in her mouth. I mean, her motherfucking mouth. She said, put it in her mouth. I mean, her motherfucking mouth. You wanna go down? Why not? I'll be like Herbie and hand you a cock and tell you that my name is I. Get on your knees, make like the breeze begin to blow. But don't give me no Ralph Lauren grip.
open if you're not down to go.
So yeah, that dude wants to be mayor.
Yeah, I can see him now. Put it in your motherfucking mouth, my name, to go vote, nigga. Oh, that campaign gonna be so lit.
Yeah, he's serious about his bid to run just in time for upcoming August 30th primary elections for mayor, which occur every 2 years. There's no one here to represent us, Akinyele said. We are trying to integrate history right now. I'm not saying the mayor isn't doing a great job now, but this mayor might not be the mayor forever. His bid for mayor of Miami Beach comes as a response to the backlash over his plans to open his King of KOD V-Live establishment on the lower portion of Glitzy Ocean Drive. He opened the first King of Diamonds in Florida in Miami Gardens in 2008. Man, I had no idea this is what he was doing, but I mean, it makes sense that this is what he was doing. I mean, all his songs,
you know, it's gonna be lit. They probably don't play nothing but his music.
I mean, all two songs? No, they play a bunch of other stuff, I guarantee. But all his songs that were popular was about fucking. So it makes sense, like, that he would get into the fucking industry. I mean, you know, do what you love for a living. It's like you never worked a day in your life.
Right.
The new KODV establishment is right on the Ocean Drive and is walking distance from popular destinations like Wet Willie's and the Clevelander. So I know Bomani and Dan will be spending a lot of time up in there. Probably Poppy, too.
Yo, you know Poppy will.
Mm-hmm. You know you'll be up in there. Akinyele's new establishment is a soul food restaurant slash club. It is reportedly the first black-owned business on that famous part of the strip. Obviously, okay, you got money too now. Mm-hmm. The news of KODV Live pissed off the local residents who protested the business opening on South Beach, claiming that the influx of rappers, athletes, and celebrities to KODV Live would undoubtedly compound the area's woes. Now, this sound like some racism. Is it me or does it sound like some sism? Mm-hmm. I feel like it might be some sism. I'm just saying that rappers, athletes, and celebrities, this is Miami. This is a town of rappers, athletes, and celebrities.
Right. They
when keep, the fuck they, y'all stop wanting to come downtown and spend money unless you have a problem with which athletes, celebrities, and rappers?
Right. It is. There. I've never been, but odds are this place is very, very expensive.
Right.
Where you have to have money to even get into some of these places.
And it's Miami, so of course it's expensive.
Right.
Philip Levine, the current mayor of Miami Beach, claimed the opening will only add to a growing tax bill for police officers to patrol the area. Oh, God damn it. Just dripping in racism.
Right. They're just like, we don't want the niggas here, basically.
Bro, the cops I had to be here if the black people come downtown. That patrol that area, which has seen a spike in crime over the past few years. Mayor Levine even proposed banning alcohol sales after 2 a.m. with the aim of reducing crimes that have been plaguing Ocean Drive. I feel like this is just a modern day lynching that's happening here, and that's the elephant in the room. Akinyele told the Miami Herald shortly after the dispute erupted. We're just a black owned establishment, and that's what they can't come to the realization with. Akinyele, right, who was known for the club anthem, Put It In Your Mouth, and his verse on Main Sources Live at the Barbecue, will officially open the club this month after securing all the needed permits.
Right. And so the thing, they can't stop him, like all the fines and fees. I guarantee you, it wouldn't surprise me if he spent more money than other people. Every time y'all try to do a tax and raise the fees and charge him all this, he paid it all the shit. Mm-hmm. And it finally got to the point where he's like, fuck it, we can't stop what he's doing.
Yeah,
I guarantee you he probably paid more money than other people.
Yeah,
right. Guarantee you they probably had all kinds of fines. They probably made up fees, passed laws so they could charge you more. He probably paid more for a liquor license, paid more for this, paid more for that. And basically they got to the point where they couldn't feed him no more, and right, they had to let him do it. So they're like, okay, since we can't stop you, we're going to make all these rules and regulations now around you being there, around your presence being there, since we couldn't stop the process.
Yep. The entire ordeal is being chronicled in a series called The King of South Beach, which is on all hip-hop TV. So,
right, because odds are they're going to bring more money. They're going to bring more people. And, you know, the people going to come and spend money, not only at his establishment, at other establishments around, like, everybody's going to benefit from this.
They don't want they think that their blackness and yeah, they think their blackness will cancel out the money. That's all it is. Like, racism doesn't have a rhyme or reason to it, right? Where, oh, well, yeah, we love money. Like, they don't care the influx of money would happen. As far as they're concerned, any athletes, like, and these are rich athletes. They would have to be rich rappers to come down here as well. They would have to be rich celebrities. Any of these people coming downtown is equal to an influx in crime because they have black skin. And this will be the first black-owned establishment that's opened up. Like, yeah, they don't fit their respectability mold, so it's like you are synonymous with crime. Not Akinelli's not a fucking criminal,
right?
He's a businessman. He's been running a business
for years,
all this time, and now you want to turn around and be like, no, if this happens, it's gonna be a whole lot of crime and all this shit. It's just fucking racism, man. Mm-hmm. That's
right. You just, like I said, try to nick attack him, and it didn't work, because like I said I guarantee you, if you go back and see his receipts, he probably paid ridiculous amount of money just to put a
yeah, it's just fucking with black people. That's all. I didn't even realize that when I started reading it.
100
It's 100. It is 100. Might as well just go ahead and keep the theme going and just go right into fucking with black people. Today's fucking with black people is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse and curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Get clearer, smoother skin with Bevel. You know, I love having all my nice shaving equipment and stuff, and since we moved, you know, it's a chance to kind of redo things. You know, as an adult, I started thinking about things that I want, and I went and bought me something to hold my razor.
That looks nice.
And I got a little bowl and something to hold my shaving brush. And that's commitment, y'all. I never did that when I was buying those razors off the shelf.
No.
I never did that when I was buying, you know, replaceable, like, oh, I'll just get another one of these when I go to the store eventually. Like, this is now my razor, okay? I treat this like the gun in those army movies.
You know what?
This is my razor.
You know what? I know it might sound silly, but for the first time ever, I quote unquote think we might be officially adults.
Yeah, we're definitely adults with some of the stuff we're doing around the house.
I'm trying to keep the house clean and shit. What the fuck is wrong with me?
But I'm just saying, there's like, I treat this razor like the basic training military shit they do with the, this is my razor. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Like that joint, because I appreciate it, you know. And I wouldn't appreciate it if it was some low quality product or if it didn't have the same outstanding results on my face every time I use it. So go to getbevel.com, that's getbevel.com, and put in code TBGWT and you get 20% off of your first month. So yeah, now let's get to more of this heartbreaking racism.
All right, before you go on, I hope this continues. You know, it's like the new car smell, after a while you kind of revert back, but you know, so far we've been hanging in there,
cleaning the house.
Yeah, cleaning the house and becoming adults. I'm still not quote unquote an adult, but you know, it's close as I'm gonna be.
I mean, I bought like a stand for all my coffee stuff so I could keep it in one place.
I know, we got a mat for shoes and shit. What's happening here?
I know, and those were my ideas, by the way. I want to take credit for those, because those, you know, as a house husband, you know, I think of things, but I was like, you know what? I need a mat for my shoes like an adult would have in their house.
Keep this shit organized.
As suicide rates for black children rise, protecting emotional health is vital. That's right. Researchers found out that suicide rates have doubled for black children while declining for white children, and they were surprised by their own results. These are the first recorded data in history for which black suicide rates surpass that of other races and groups. Suicide is what can happen at the extreme of when youth and adults are marginalized and lack the resources to cope with the marginalization. The reason for the increase in black children's suicide are unknown. In today's climate, however, efforts towards protecting children from the subtle and not so subtle burdens of discrimination and oppression seem warranted. I mean, that's some very disheartening news. But I think we're looking into things now more than we ever have. We're seeing the scope and the magnitude of problems, and it's becoming pop culture relevant. Like it's so, like it's beyond just, oh, like when I was a kid, like if you really took a fascination to history and racism and things of this nature, you could kind of gravitate towards finding information. Now it's like you just go on Facebook and you can learn something about racism every single day of your life if you choose to click on something. And it has to be affecting kids, you know?
It affects adults. It affects adults that can make adult decisions. So imagine somebody who hasn't had the experience of an adult, haven't been through the same thing adults have. You have adults that have PTSD from various different things in their lives that they never got diagnosed. Adults with ADD, adults with all these medical conditions that a lot of times, truth be told, white people have a tendency to be diagnosed with these things, even in school, quicker than we are. You know, a lot of times your parents honestly have to push and force it for them to actually find out if there is something wrong with their child.
Right.
You know, it's not, oh, let's, it's like your child's misbehaving. Let's do an investigation. Let's find out if Billy's slow. Let's find out if he has ADD. Let's find out what other, if he has autism. For black children, it's automatically, you're bad. There's something wrong with you. You know, it's your parents' fault. Everything but trying to get to the root cause of the problem, which sometimes may be beyond that child's control. But, you know, it's one of those things that our children don't get the benefit of the doubt that there might be other outside factors.
And even then, if, like, they do criminalize kids at a early age, they do put them in, you know, they take them away from the group, put them in punishing situations because they're black when they wouldn't have done that for white kids. Studies have shown this over and over. But one of the things I also think about is, are psychologists, are people really prepared to deal with this en masse for black children? Like, what does that look like when race is an issue in my life, but as a white person, you don't understand? Right. You know, like, to me, a lot of, I don't know the specific reasons right. for any of these children that may commit suicide, but just environment wise, I don't know that we've seen such a blatant, open, willingly anti-black, like, moment from everyone in my lifetime. Not saying ever, but in my lifetime. And there has to be so many kids who saw Barack Obama elected. He's the only president they've known. There's got to be so many kids who did this current backlash that we are able to put in the scope of and frame of time to be able to kind of go, okay, this isn't as bad as the 60s. This is like this. I can still see this long game for a kid to see the reaction that people have to Black Lives Matter, the silencing, to see the racist incidents, that the way police put their hands on them, take their lives, the viral videos of it. I can see like the constant deluge of shit, the deluge that they're being assaulted with. To be black and waking up, be conscious, the starting to see these things, to not be able to avoid seeing these things, it has to have some mental effect on them at large. It has to.
Right, and you brought up a good point, because technology makes a difference. These things have always been here, but not trying to be funny, with our generation, to an extent, like prior to like the internet of what it is now and cell phones, our parents could kind of protect us from that. Mm-hmm. But now you live in a generation where you go to school, everybody's talking about it. You click on the internet, you go on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. It is a constant bombard of videos over and over again. Somebody's getting killed over and over again. You know, whatever age you are, you click on a story and somebody your exact age has died, has been shot, has been killed. No, now the world is smaller. So before, when shit happened in Ferguson, Missouri, you wouldn't even know about it a lot of times unless it was covered on nightly news and some shit like that, because, you know, news didn't travel like it used to.
Right.
And it has to have a impact, because like I said, this affects adults. Right. Adults are having mental breakdowns. Adults are being depressed. Adults are committing suicide.
Adults who might be your parents.
Right. And a lot of times, if the adults don't know how to deal with it, and they don't know how to talk to you, or either they feel helpless How can they get you to the point where you could get a better understanding and a better grasp of what's going on? And the thing is, what you were talking about before, I also think that there are psychiatrists and psychologists that might not be brown that can have empathy and sympathy and understand, but a lot of times they're not black. So once you start talking about certain things, they just can't relate. That's why a lot of people who actually get to the point where they do go get help, and particularly black, sometimes just go, you need to be black. Like, I nothing personal against these other folks, but you need to be black. So when we start talking about shit, I want my child to be open and honest, and I want you to be able to understand.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of hurdles that black life in America has to jump over to make it. And yeah, I would not be surprised that if those are the results. And to me, this is something America needs to make better. I mean, when you think about suicide rates, it's high among LGBTQ people. It's high among people with certain mental health issues. It's high, like, certain people have a higher rate, but it's also partially because of how society treats and views those people. I don't see how we can ignore the correlation, and I think it has become even more hostile towards black people since this movement where people started speaking up for black people's lives. And ever since then, it's been the animosity and the anti-blackness has come out in every area of society. Every. And these kids are seeing it. Kids are very intuitive. They see it. They feel it. They know that you're telling them their lives are worthless. So,
right.
I'm not shocked at all to find out, you know.
Right. And a lot of times, most people put like this. There's some children that are in situations where they already don't feel loved. So whenever you get these situations where I'm in a situation where I don't feel any love, and then society tells me that I'm worthless, society tells me that my life doesn't matter, society, you know, is constantly bombarding you with anti-blackness, mm-hmm. you know, and you're black and that's who you are and you can't change that, it becomes mm-hmm. a problem.
And also, you know, especially for kids that achieve, achievement in America is very much attached to proximity to whiteness. So it's like, the smarter your kid, the more likely they are to be in a class where there's no other black kids. The, you know, like,
they separated out really early.
Yeah, the higher level, like, it's not just the, oh, your kid is bad, so I'm putting them in detention. It's also the, your kid is excelling, but some of the things that people like harbor inside of them come out when they're surrounded by black people or when they're black persons in their presence. And all of a sudden it's, you know, I'm now no longer in a classroom that is a little more diverse, a little more made up of people that look like me.
Right.
And so I may be hearing and seeing some things specifically now because a lot of kids bought into, and a lot of parents sold it, but they bought into this like racism is over thing.
Yes, they did.
You know, I've been at the YMCA, and those kids are mostly well-to-do. Like, even the black kids are mostly doing well. Mm-hmm. Their parents are doing well.
Right.
And I've been in those situations where I've listened to white kids say the N-word around black kids. And it's like, it's all good. It's all fun. We're all the same. Anyone can say it. But now, I don't see it as much. It's been a couple years since I've seen something like that. Because I think now these kids are explicitly aware of their race. Like, there's no more, we're all one, we're all the same. Cause it's like, no, I know we're not, because you, all lives matter, or you don't understand why I'm upset about this, or you think, it was, you know, whatever. Like, you, I know you now in a way I did not know you then because our circumstances have changed.
Right. Or either it's some things, but all of a sudden I'm not getting invited over as often and shit like that, you know, cause parents play a factor also.
Right. It's just, you know, and I'll just leave it at that cause, hopefully something can be done, you know, and now that we know it's more of a problem, you know, hopefully we can start building around protecting these kids from some of the negativity they see.
We playing a game. This is 100.
Oh, yeah, obviously 100. Yes, 100. Slavery reparations could cost up to 14 children. 14 children.
All 14 of them.
Slavery reparations could cost up to $14 trillion, according to a new calculation. To which I say, man.
Right.
Run my coin. Come on now. Apparently there's a new calculation where they say it could be up to $14.2 trillion.
How much is that per person?
Okay, Karen. Let's see. $5 times. Carry the one. You got this. Inflation. So we got to, okay. I don't know. Previous estimates have. Previous estimates.
5 cents a person.
Yeah, I don't know. That it's definitely more than 5 cents a person. Previous estimates have been between $36 billion and $10 trillion in 2009 dollars. Those calculations mostly looked at wealth created by slaves as opposed to services provided, resulting in underestimates. This new dude, what is his name? Thomas Kramer. He estimates that, he used some different figures, okay? He tabulated how many hours all slaves, men, women, and children worked in the United States from when the country was officially established in 1776 and until 1865 when slavery was officially abolished. He multiplied that amount of time that they worked by average wage prices of the time, then a compounded interest rate of 3% per year, more than making up for inflation. There is a range between the amount of time worked, but it isn't a hard figure. Previous estimates of reparations range between $36 billion and $10 trillion, but he is saying 14.2, well, anywhere between $5.9 trillion and $14.2 trillion.
Yeah, you got about a few more minutes. You can roll us over if you want to.
Oh, okay. Cool. Let me do that right now. Anyway, how you feel fucked with about these reparations?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Karen says zero, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, zero for me as well. I do not feel fucked with at all.
I take my whole $2
by this conversation about reparations. Send me my money. All right, I'm gonna roll us over, guys, and I'll invite everybody into it, and you guys can listen to some Akineli while I do this.
Left Rock City, Queens. Yo, this is Ocknell with my man's complexion. And right now, we representing all the guys with more than $10 in their pocket. Who still gonna be playing, even though they not paying for the whole night.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Girl, would you fuck me for free?
Yeah. Hey. Some good ass workout music. Passed out trying to keep up with the beat. This is why I don't do Zumba class. This is the shit I play at Zumba class. They be like, ma'am, we're going to have to suspend you from doing Zumba class.
We weren't fucked with by that money at all. Mm-mm. Give us the money. Mm-hmm. We'll take it. Thank you very much.
yeah, in fact, I make you mad. Give me my reparations in pennies, so I yeah, used to
see him count. I want mine in Tubman's, personally.
Hey.
Let's see what else is happening. Oh, activists hang a highway banner blasting black men for not fighting for women in Black Lives Matter. A few days ago, this site is blackgirllonghair.com. I don't know,
anybody,
you know, whatnot, but I mean, I'm assuming it happens to have pictures and everything, but okay. I was just gonna say that because the font is like caps lock, like,
oh, they screaming at us?
14, like, bold.
We just want y'all to know y'all ain't supporting us. That's all we want y'all to know.
Dog, this font screams at you. Right. But,
like, turn the font down.
Now, this is by the BGLH staff, so they didn't put any specific person's name on this. Probably because they don't want to face the harassment that they're going to get.
You are T-painted.
Okay. All right, let me refresh. Alright, while I refresh.
Now just pass, I'm a little too fast for y'all gold diggers. On that OJ tip, straight trying to juice a nigga. That's why I don't believe in holidays or meeting your mom. Eating out a restaurant and taking your ass to that prom. I'm straight up, like the collar on the farm. Flipping like the dawn and just running. What's carry on, ladies?
money all night long, but that's foul like a nigga in sworn while reading the Quran. The far run game on they brain, you catch a sign, daughter up in the Ramada with eight bitches and a five pizza filled with enchiladas, and all y'all girls can have a slice on me, cause tonight.
All right, let me know if the audio is still messed up in the chat, guys. And then we'll
continue been talking on. About Black Lives Matter and Girl, Would You Fuck Me For Free and Be Just Fine.
All right, so dear black men, cisgender and straight, put in the quotes or like just that the addendum is made to let to know who it is. And I guess you know, that would be what most people consider straight, you know, cisgender black man. While you're busy not fighting for us, remember that you're killing us too. We ain't fighting for y'all no more until you stop killing us and until you start centering the violence, trauma, and pain we suffer by anti-black misogynistic violence. This is a new future, Ashley Shackelford. So she is an activist. She publicly held black men accountable for their lack of support during the more recent killings of black women. The black male response to the police killings of Corrin Gaines on August 1st have been particularly disheartening for many black women.
Come on.
Gaines, killed in her home during a standoff with police, has been dismissed by many black men as a crazy woman who deserved her end, even as questions remain about why a few ticket violations resulted in police showing up at Gaines' door and why, when she was detained by police in March, she was allegedly denied food and water. Adding insult to injury, Gaines allowed her partner to escape through the back with her youngest child while she continued to face off with police. She stood by her black man to the end, only to be largely ridiculed and panned by black men in her death. Now, for the record, I have not really participated much in this discussion. I mean, I've talked about it, but I haven't gotten any pushback. But that's also partially because I'm a black man. A lot of times, I say something and people consider it and they leave me alone. And if someone says something, it's normally some egg or some troll, and I just hit them with the "Oh, you sweet soul," and knocked them out of the park. But I know I've seen black women who are talking, like, because I also don't follow any real ashy niggas that would engage in this.
Me either.
Like, the only other people I know who have, like, felt compelled to kind of say that Corrin Gaines is just does not meet the qualifications of somebody that we should ultimately count as a victim of police overzealousness have been black women. Now, that's because I don't follow those kind of niggas that would say that, and even the black women that I saw saying that are people that have typically been, you know, quote unquote woke or whatever with other cases. Honestly, I'm not gonna debate it with people. I'm not gonna debate it. I feel my way, and I'm never gonna convince you otherwise. I get it. People draw lines on the internet. I'm never gonna convince you, but I just think she should still be alive, or if she's not alive, I just feel like police should have to exhaust all possibilities before you start shooting at people.
Right.
And I don't think that's controversial to say. I don't see why we can't all at least unite behind that. But instead, people want to just call her crazy. They want to talk about mental health. They want to, like, shit that we don't know. Like, they want to do everything, but fact of the matter, the things that we do know, the things that the police, even in their statement, if you believe it, have copped to, still kind of feel like, damn, it didn't have to go that way.
No, it did not.
You know, now I'm not, I know life's not like TV and shit, and everything doesn't go perfect, and if somebody really was like, I'm committing suicide by police today, you really couldn't stop it. So I'm not in some idealistic spot where I'm just pie in the sky. I'm just saying everything's perfect. I recognize that even you could exhaust all possibilities and a person could still be like, nope, I'm dying today. Y'all gonna have to kill me. I get it. But there just seems certain things like them firing the shot first.
Right.
The, you know, kicking in somebody's door for a warrant over traffic tickets, coming with SWAT. Like, you know, I don't know all the details of everything. I wasn't there. I get it. I wasn't there for Sandra Bland. getting killed. I wasn't there for Eric Garner getting killed. I wasn't there when Trayvon Martin lost his life. I'm not there for any of this shit. But what I do believe in is standing up for all black people's lives. It doesn't matter your orientation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your criminal history. It really doesn't matter for me. While I may feel a certain way about people's choices and shit they do individually, end of the day, I can push all that aside for the fact that I don't want you to die by overzealous police force, man. That's it. You know, if it would happen to you, I would feel the same way. You know, it's, you know, people I don't even fuck with, if it happened to them, I'd feel that way. I'd feel like this is wrong. And like, and so all that to say, I may not have seen the dudes trolling women about this, but I know it happened.
Of course, it always happens.
I know it happened. You know, I guarantee any woman that said like, I don't see why y'all talking about her anyway, blah, blah, blah. I guarantee you got a ton of like from dudes. You got a ton of discussion and cosigns and shit. Like, there's a, like, you can't separate these things sometimes. Like, I understand, like, nuance, and I understand the difference and whatnot, but literally, you're going to be on the side of people that always think black women need to shut the fuck up and sit their ass down and not be so outspoken.
Right.
You are going to end up on that side in this situation because they're always on that side. You may only be on that side for this one person, but those people are going to basically hold what you say up as on a pedestal. Like, see, even she agrees that these bitches need to start, she needs to be taking care of her kids, stop worrying about all that. Like, you, that is, you know, this is what's wrong with black women. Black dudes are going to come out in droves for shit like this. And like I said, man, the principles of the matter is I can't stand with any of those motherfuckers. Cause end of the day, police should treat us the same way they treat white folks. I've just been doing this thing lately where I'm sharing articles where white people shot at the cops, and these are recent. These aren't like me going in the archives. White people shot at cops, shot cops, did things, and they're alive. And I don't say anything, but I just share it and I go, still alive. Because they're taking these people in alive, but not us.
They never de-escalate. Us. They do a lot of de-escalation with them.
Yeah, it's never us. It's never us. We get killed.
We escalate it.
Yeah.
We kick out the door, bust in the fo-fo.
Like, it's disgusting and despicable that someone would shoot however many innocent police officers it was in Dallas.
Right.
But it is also telling that they sent in a robot to blow somebody up for the first time ever.
Ever, dog. Ever.
You know, with Charles Dorner, they burned down the fucking place he was in. These are things we don't see. Like, we've seen people that, you know, the Clive and Bundy motherfuckers, the dudes that took over that facility in Oregon or whatever the fuck, where they was like, we sovereign citizens too, you know?
Right.
Like, I think one of them got killed. I think one of them got killed. But there was like fucking however many of them. And the police, the government never barged in there with SWAT and fucking said, we taking this bitch over. Like, it was like, I think they even had to ambush those dudes in a car, the ones that they did. And then the one dude shot at them and that's how he got killed. But the point being, like, it wasn't even like we shot first and he shot back. Like, no, they gave them every chance to be alive.
Right. And that's all that we ask. And then when brown people are like, hey, these white folks is doing some shit that y'all would never allow us to do. It's shut up, niggas. And you like, word, this is what we doing.
Well, I just, word. I mean, in this specific situation, they're not, she's talking about black men.
Right, right. I
understand. So I want to keep it on that. Like, this is a chance where people get to opt out.
Correct.
You know, it's just, I'm opting out of caring about your shit. I know you'll be there when it's one of us. And you won't care. You won't care if Eric Garner was selling Lucy's. You won't care if a kid was playing with a toy gun. You won't care that Alton Sterling is a statutory rapist. You won't care about these things because you understand the principle is his life matter and he shouldn't be dead if it's at all possible not to kill somebody.
Right.
But when it comes to other people, when it comes to black women, we start pulling out the measuring tape to get everybody right and exact in the right respectability lane. And then we can extend whether or not we care. And I think it that is something that is definitely considered for black women victims, and it's also something that is not considered for black men,
of course, because like you say, it's one of those things where black men take for granted that black women will always love them. They just like, well, I know you're going to be here for me regardless of how I treat you, regardless of what I say to you, regardless of the things I do to you. If I'm ever in a situation where some shit's fucked up, you quote unquote gonna come to my rescue, but it's not reciprocated. And for some black women, to the point where they're like, you know what, nah, fuck y'all, I am tired of supporting shit and not getting it back in return. I'm going to opt out of not marching no more. I'm going to opt out of not showing up. I'm going to opt out of fucking organizing. Like, I'm going to opt out because I can, and all of a sudden I'm the problem because I'm opting out. But when you opt out, it's not a problem though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, like I said, I don't blame anybody that put this letter up, anybody that felt the need to say something. And yeah, I don't blame people that are saying like, I'm not marching no more. Like, I remember when I can't remember her name, but somebody wrote that blog post and everyone kind of came down on her when she was like, I'm not marching for Eric Garner or whatever. And people were basically like, oh, well, this is just wrong and you shouldn't say that. But the sentiment of her thing was, I know that it won't be reciprocated. So I'm not subjecting myself to basically abuse for you to sit back and then wait for, you know, because this is the other thing. When it was Sandra Bland, it was the same shit. I remember that. Like, I remember a lot of, well, why did she get her attitude? Well, why she gotta talk to him like that? Why, you know, like, it was a lot of like, you know, how do you know she didn't kill herself? I mean, you don't know what happened. Like, these aren't the same police that we don't trust when it's a black man. Like, come on, man. It's definitely selective, you know? So yeah, she brought it up, and you know, and I'm sure the reaction to Corrine Gaines has been disheartening, because she's not the perfect victim, quote unquote, and so it is a lot of hemming and hawing about it, and a lot of blaming her, and a lot of like, why y'all care, and all this shit. Shackelford, along with Bree Carter, Erica Michelle, and Catherine Amani, hung the following sign over a local highway, and Shackelford posted an extended letter on Facebook. These above words, though quoted from Shackelford and her friends, very much echo the feelings of many black women lately. When a black man is unjustly brutalized by police or killed, we step into the front lines of protest and create hashtag protect our men, hashtag black boys matter hashtags on social media to show how our black men's and black boys' lives matter. However, when a black woman or girl suffers rape or murder, there is largely silence. Sometimes even justification for the injustice from our men. This is all with the exception of a few, literally a few male voices that do speak up in our defense. And don't shut shit down for us when we're murdered by the police, by this system, or by our community, said. Oh, you don't shut shit down for us, says Ashley Shackelford. You know, the other thing too is, like I said, when it comes to this shit, we're the black dudes, straight black dudes for the most, we're the cops, basically. We are the good ones don't say shit, quote unquote. The bad ones do what they want, and then other niggas co-sign it. But one of the things that, like, the disharmony in the community is probably going to, if anything can destroy a movement, that'll be it. It won't be outside force, it won't be the media, it won't be white people, it won't be Fox News, it won't be a presidential candidate. If anything erodes the will, I think it'll come from the fact that there's still so much disharmony among blackness in general, and our oppression isn't necessarily universal like it was in the 60s. Not that it was 100% universal, but you know, it was like, you black, you can't get on this bus and sit in the front, period. It doesn't matter if you're a rich black man, don't matter if you're a broke black man, don't matter if you're a black woman, if you're a black don't matter if you're straight, doesn't matter. We are oppressing all y'all the same because fuck y'all in your skin. With this, there's these hierarchies as to who is considered the most reputable victims,
right?
You know, and they have it in civil rights too. I mean, Rosa Parks wasn't the first black woman to, you know, take a stand against that bus shit, mm-hmm. but she was the one that could sell her face easier,
right?
And her story easier. But it does feel like if something arose, it'll just be the fact that for the most part, black dudes didn't just not get involved, but they actively pushed against it because women took the leadership positions and led the charge and had the ideas and had the organization. And they're gonna be like, well, I gotta hear your voice too. Like, I gotta hear more than just Black Lives Matter and more than just Save Our Men. I gotta hear about the women. I gotta hear about your issues within our race, about gender and about your treatment and misogyny and the way we are. I didn't sign up for all that shit. Like, I'm cool with you saying fuck these police for killing us, but once you start saying like, and you killing us too, well, I'm out. Like, now that sounds like some shit I gotta do, or some shit you want me to speak out on. Like, I'm not comfortable in that setting.
Right.
And I think that'll erode shit further than anything else.
Correct. Because truth be told, and this is my personal opinion, if it gets to the point where black women start getting tired and mm-hmm. they literally start opting out, shit won't get done. Because it's amazing how black men come in droves telling us how we ain't doing shit right, telling us how we're wrong, telling us you're not a black man, how can you speak on my behalf? Bitch, where are you?
Well, not just that, I mean, they have like these, what was it, Life Jennings, David Banner, Tyrese, like they tried to have a meeting of black men and two of them almost got in a fucking fight. Like, it's, you know, and not that there's not infighting in every movement and stuff, but just this, there's so much hypermasculinity brought onto the pro-black side. So when you do have a dude that is like, I'm pro-black, so many of these people are like, I'm pro-black as long as a black man, I'm pro-black as long as you're straight, I'm pro-black as long as you're like just certain shit, like, oh, I'm saying go spend your money in a black bank. Well, how do you feel about, you know, women? Well, women need to let men lead and, you know, all this shit. And suddenly it's like, you're not pro all black, you pro for yourself. Like, you want access to the same privilege that white people have.
Right. And my thing is this, if you want to lead, it's opportunities for black men to lead, all jokes aside, but a lot of them don't step up. You have some men, some black men that are out in the forefront, yeah. and they're, hey, I'm at every march, I'm at every protest, I don't care. But overall, you don't get that from everybody, and that becomes the problem.
Well, our leadership just doesn't, it's not inclusive, is my point.
Right.
There are black people that want to be leaders, but it's not inclusive. And a lot of times it's about themselves first, and that's it. Like, black women are marching when black men get killed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, like I said, it's... it's no insult to the victims, but mm-hmm. I was afraid of this when Alton Sterling and Philando Castile died. It was like everyone's gonna get super charged up and be like, cool, two black dudes died, we can jump behind this. But then something, just a perfect victim doesn't come along, and then it's should we be watching for this? Should we be watching for that? I mean, clearly, let's talk about mental health. Let's talk about this. Let's talk, like all of a sudden, it's a bunch of caveats to when we decide to take a stand. Whereas if she was Corey Gaines, my personal belief is that people would have been like, at least being like, yeah, I don't know if the cops should have killed that person. Mm-hmm. That's my personal belief is, now, I have a bunch of evidence in my opinion, but I'm sure other people feel like, well, we don't have any evidence of that. But I know people that were upset that they killed the people that killed cops, like that they blew the dude up. I still know people that were upset by that, and that dude killed several cops. It wasn't no they shot at him, he shot back, he just murdered them in cold blood. And I know people that were like, they ain't had to blow him up though, you know what I'm saying? So like, it doesn't seem like we're, there's a lot of equivocating, I'll just put it that way. But yeah, she wrote a longer version on her Facebook page, And she says, "Dear black man, while you're busy not fighting for us, remember that you're killing us too. For Corinne Gaines, for Sky Maccabee, for Joyce Kuiwe." That was the one we talked about where the dude called his friend in and they tortured and killed his wife or whatnot. For D. Wiggum, for all black women in films, hashtag we are the revolution, hashtag no revolution without us, hashtag set it off, hashtag black future. We hung this over the highway today to remind black cisgender straight men of the truth. You don't shut shit down for us when we're murdered by the police, by this system, or by our community. While you spend all this time justifying our deaths, don't forget that you're on the list of things we fear the most. The biggest threat to black women in film safety is not just white and non-black people, it's you. We are the revolution and you can't silence us anymore. This is just the beginning. This will no longer be a conversation we keep in the house. Yeah, that's another thing people like to do. Like when we talked about that Morehouse Spelman thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, well, you know, talking about this gonna make white people look down on all of us. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, then, you know, raping people gonna make you look bad, right?
Right.
You could not do that. You could punish people that do it so that other people won't. You could do all these other steps instead of blaming the person that's the victim and the last person in the cycle.
Right. And a lot of times, in my personal opinion, it boils down to you, overall, you continue to want the black woman to make the sacrifice with the quote unquote race.
Right. We're dedicated to airing out. Oh wait, I'm sorry. This is just the beginning. This is no longer be a conversation we keep in the house because you can't be trusted to hear us, protect us, humanize us, or love us. We're dedicated to airing out all the intra-community violence, laundry until shit changes. Fuck white people hearing our problems. This isn't about their voyeurism. This is about our lives and our safety. We ain't fighting for y'all no more till you stop killing us, until you start centering the violence, trauma, and pain we suffer by anti-black misogynistic violence. This is a new black future. Yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, cause the one, like I said, this is probably not a mainstream thing as of yet. But I think as long as black dudes keep running in, straight black dudes, cisgender black dudes keep running in, trying to dominate the conversation mm-hmm. and steer it away from inclusion and try to put themselves in the front, and get all the accolades and credit and love and shit, but not give any of that back to anybody. I feel like as long as that continues to happen, we are well on our way to that moment where people have to sit back and be like, I can't do this with y'all.
I'll be right back.
No problem. You okay?
Yeah, my
husband. Okay. All right. Karen gotta go get some Visine or something, guys. I don't know what's going on in here. Matter of fact, I'll just continue on. But, I think for the large part, it's gonna be, cause I don't think that what people are asking for black men to lead and shit, I think they're just asking for support and for you to not be in the way and to not push back on shit. Cause a lot of dudes, you know, we're born into the same society that is misogynistic and sexist and all this shit. And I think we come through and we push down because we feel like that's our role, is to push these people down because we've been told that that's beneficial to people. We've been told that that is what men are supposed to do, is you come into this situation and you take control and you tell everybody do this and do the organize around me. And for a large part, I think we can't, that we don't have the ability to push our ego to the side and be like, okay, well, this isn't about me, but it's okay for it not to be about me. Speaking of other schism that's going on, by the way, I'm sure Karen, I speak for both of us when I say 100, but I'll make sure to ask her when she gets back. But I mean, come on, y'all heard her. Her eyes started watering. I don't know what's going on. So apparently Baltimore, the Department of Justice has some findings on Baltimore's police department. It's a surprise, surprise, y'all, but apparently it was some racism going on. Systemically, they was corrupt. That's obviously.
Man, I hear you. It's funny to me too. It's strange to me too.
As AI would say, okay? But Baltimore's police department has reacted by firing some people. They fired some officers who committed the most egregious violations outlined in a federal report that the Associated Press reported on. The report found that Baltimore police officers routinely target and discriminate against black people using excessive force and are not adequately disciplined or for misconduct. The Justice Department is seeking a court order to force the police department to commit to improving its procedures to avoid a lawsuit. Now what's funny is that they already fired some officers, but you only fired them once the report came out. Like, it's not like the report is outlining new information. Like, we didn't know that this was a thing. Like, the report is just saying, here's information that has already been collected, here are oversights, here are things where it gave officers a pass, and now all of a sudden they getting fired. Now, you knew about these violations for years. Why are they just getting fired? Oh, because the world knows now. So here we go. Nothing to see here. And I always think when you fire people like this that have done so much dirt, what you're really doing is still trying to cover up the dirt. You're going, nothing to see here. Nothing interesting here. Don't interview these people. Don't talk to anybody about this. They're gone now. So it's kind of like, we won. It's kind of like it's over. So, Karen, for that last article, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100. Whatever you're talking about.
The black men one. The one I was talking about. The sign from the Black Lives Matter activists.
I'll get 1,000, but go ahead.
All right. and then this one, just to catch you up, the Department of Justice released a report on Baltimore police. Mm-hmm. And they fired the officers who had the most egregious violations in the report, but they just fired them.
So 2 years later, right?
Well, not 2 years. This wasn't just about Freddie Gray. This is just a Department of Justice report. Like, they just go in, look at the history of your organization, and they start going, okay, what happened here? What happened there? So they released the report, and like, some of this shit is just, I mean, I have some of the worst parts here. A woman with a broken headlight was publicly strip searched.
Oh!
Yeah. Yep. She was publicly strip searched over having a broken headlight. You know how you have to do that. Nevertheless, our investigation found that Baltimore Police Department officers frequently ignore these requirements and strip search individuals prior to arrest in public view or both. Numerous Baltimore residents interviewed by the Justice Department recounted stories of BPD officers jumping out police vehicles and strip searching individuals on public streets. They have long been on notice of such allegations. In the last 5 years, they have faced multiple lawsuits and more than 60 complaints alleging unlawful strip searches. In one of these incidents, memorialized in a complaint that the department sustained, officers in BPD's Eastern District publicly strip searched a woman following a routine traffic stop for a missing headlight. Officers ordered the woman to exit her vehicle, remove her clothes, and stand on the sidewalk to be searched. The woman asked the male officer in charge, I really got to take all my clothes off? The male officer replied, yeah, and ordered a female officer to strip search the woman. The female officer then put on purple latex glove, pulled up the woman's shirt, and searched around her bra. Finding no weapon or contraband around the woman's chest, the officer then pulled down the woman's underwear, searched her anal cavity.
In public.
This search again found no evidence of wrongdoing, and the officers released the woman without charges. Indeed, the woman received only a repair order for her headlight. The search occurred in full view of the street. Although the supervisor, male officer, and that it stopped there. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. This is the kind of shit that people were dealing with the Baltimore police. A black officer with a reputation for speaking out over misconduct was harassed by a supervisor who placed signs warning him to stay in your lane and mind your own business on his desk. So that's a good cop. Put him on giving ice cream duty to kids. Let him hug and dance with some kids.
That's true.
Show me his mean crossover, because that motherfucker actually put some skin in the game and said, this ain't right. And you see what they did to him. You know, like, I understand. You're still a human. I don't expect you to go out and die for this shit, but yeah, they made sure to put him back in line. Don't spread rumors was one of the signs. The sergeant filed a complaint about the signs. The lieutenant admitted to creating them and placed them next to the sergeant's desk. Yet the Baltimore Police Department took no meaningful corrective action. Though the complaint was sustained, the lieutenant received no suspension, fine, or loss of benefits. Instead, he was given a verbal counseling instruction, instructed him that such behavior was unprofessional and inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So what does that teach the person that was the whistleblower? That ain't shit gonna happen. So you might as well shut the fuck up. An officer decided not to report a colleague for planting drugs because he feared retaliation. Mm-hmm. The alleged retaliation against the detective received significant publicity, and has had a chilling effect on other officers in the department who witnessed misconduct. In one case, an officer in a specialized drug unit observed one of his fellow officers plant drugs on a suspect after a foot chase. Now that person's probably in jail, right? I mean, you didn't say anything,
and that person would never get out of jail.
The officer decided not to report the misconduct because he did not want BPD officers to do me the way they treated the detective,
right? Because people pay attention.
An officer harassed a mother and her son outside their home, ultimately arresting the juvenile for loitering. He's a juvenile with no prior criminal record. He was arrested for loitering outside his own home. Supervisors raised no issues with respect to the incident. Similarly, groups of people are often dispersed unless they have a clear reason for gathering in that location.
But he was at home.
Mm-hmm. And you can't hang out on this street. In one internal report, a supervisor described the actions of an officer, stating, "Officer approached the group to ascertain the reason for the crowd. If there were no legal reason, they were going to disperse the crowd. The interaction concluded with an officer using OC spray on the entire group of people. These enforcement activities for behavior that is at most a minor offense, if even unlawful, alienate community members and decrease their willingness to work with police." They found that officers have been accused more than 60 times of using the word nigger, but the Baltimore Police Department didn't classify that language as a racial slur.
Of course not.
Mm-mm. Nigger is not a racial slur.
Mm-mm. Why would it be?
Shout out to the people who are shocked by this, but watch The Wire.
Come on, dog.
An officer used a taser on a man who was yelling and swearing. In his report, the officer said the man's weapon was his mouth. Well, that's a funny one. The Baltimore Police Department's us versus them mentality led officers to treat the city like a war zone. You got to be the baddest motherfucker out there, one officer said, explaining his approach to policing. Officer cursed out a resident who asked why he'd been pulled over. She was told to shut the fuck up, bitch, and sit the fuck down because they were the fucking law. An email between a prosecutor and a police officer. The prosecutor called a woman who had been sexually assaulted a conniving little whore, and the officer replied, "Laugh my ass off, I feel the same." On your work email. That's nice. That's really nice. And you're the prosecutor. So you're responsible for...
Right, and this happens all across the fucking country.
Mm-hmm. "This case is crazy," she wrote. The prosecutor wrote, "This case is crazy. I'm not excited about charging it. This victim seems like a conniving little whore. Pardon my language." Baltimore officers themselves described stopping people without evidence of wrongdoing and detaining them. Oh, you mean driving one black? Hmm? Officers tried to discredit victims of sexual assault and put the blame on them. Well, if they're racist, makes sense that the next slippery slope line. Now, how many people are black and women that they were doing that to? Oh, probably a lot of them. It's Baltimore. During a Department of Justice ride along, a sergeant told an officer to make something up to justify a bogus stop. A single officer received 125 complaints in just a few years. They probably fired him.
Woo!
That's probably one of the ones they fired and just said, "Look, don't talk to nobody. By fired, here's your pension." A commander instructed a sergeant to tell her officers to lock up all the black hoodies in her district. A form for trespass arrest already had black male filled out. Just saving some time, you know? Why fill it out new every time? We only stop at the same nigga over and over.
They do like I have paperwork. Just go ahead and write your, go ahead and program it up with your name on it because that ain't gonna change.
Hey, and if you're a black dude, I mean, a black woman, we'll just put female. We put F-E on it, and we still got the same thing. A white officer allegedly threatened a black teen days after the acquittal of George Zimmerman, who killed black teenager Trayvon Martin, by saying he should put a hoodie on and come to my neighborhood. That was just the worst one. So 0 to 100. Okay, hard for Karen to 100. Come up. Okay, 100 for me.
That wasn't hard.
I don't know. It sounded like you was needed some time to think. That's how it sounded to me. I mean, maybe it's just me, but the audience might heard it. I don't know. Anyway.
When I wake up, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who wake up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I heave up, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's hearing to you. But I won't walk 500 miles,
hey. I won't walk 500 more just to be
That's right, guys. It's white people.
Now we didn't get to the bridge.
Da-da-da-da.
Yes.
Trust me, white people already knew it. They turned the show off and started playing that song on their Spotify already.
Da-da-da.
Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green welcome baby number 3, Journey River.
Ah! And next baby gonna be called Paddle. Paddle Boat.
Yep, their third child together, who is a son, Journey River Green. He joins big brother Noah Shannon and Bodhi Ransom, as well as 14-year-old Cassius. So, there you go.
Good for them.
White people, they're just like us. Breaking news, hope everybody's sitting now, but Taylor Swift has changed her hair back to curly.
Ah!
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you guys are...
That's too much to handle.
This is the, breaking news. Back in the country days, she used to have her hair as curly. She was known for her iconic curly hair, which I'm assuming was all, you know, I don't know, maybe something happened and she decided to cut off her hair and go with the other stuff, but she's going back to curly, y'all. In the past few years, she's not only chopped her hair short, but wore it straight. But she's back to the curls, guys. And, what a time to be alive is the title of this article on BuzzFeed says.
Oh, what a time to be alive!
Things are changing around us, guys. Tough deal. Robert Herjavec had Kim Johnson, Kim spelled KYM. That's right.
Oh, okay. All right.
White people. They're just like us. Kim Johnson signed a prenup capping any divorce payout at $1 million. He's the Shark Tank star, Robert Herjavec, and he had his former Dancing with the Stars partner, Kim Johnson, sign a tough prenuptial agreement before saying, I do. He's a 53-year-old businessman who was worth an estimated $100 million. As the CEO of IT security for firm Herjavec Group, demanded a prenup after paying out millions to his ex-wife, Diane Pless, after their divorce last year. So, this time he said, I'm smart. You're not getting no million, no, all my money. And the way the deal is set up, she gets $100,000 for every year that they're married, and it's capped at $1 million if the marriage ends.
Oh shit.
So the most she can get is $1 million. So she can only do that if they stay married for at least 10 years. Then he'll be ready for his next wife, I'm sure.
Of course.
The houses they live in are all in his name, and Kim won't have any claim to the properties if they split. So there you go. That's some very important white people news right there.
Ah,
In more white people news, a shocking video shows a lion attacking a baby on live TV while its handlers desperately try to pry its jaws open.
Ha ha ha! What? Where are the baby's parents?
Two handlers featured on Mexican TV show alongside the mother and baby. They brought in a lion cub to the studio, which appears to be calm at first. Suddenly, the baby started to whine, prompting the predator to lunge at her. The lion bit her legs as handlers tried to stop it attacking the screaming child. Mm-hmm. Now, I know what you guys are thinking, but Rod, this is on Mexican TV. Why the hell would this be in white people news? The lion, dummy. White people love animals. White people love animals. Not guess the race.
Mm-mm. Yeah, then okay. The baby get attacked. They was like, "Well, you can die, baby." But this, right. This tiger,
They probably are upset as hell at this baby for sticking his feet in that lion's mouth.
Right, mad dead baby for crying.
Right, why did you cry? You startled the lion. It's not the lion's fault.
No, it's not.
I guarantee you. What were you even doing around the line? That's gonna be the answers, man.
Of course.
Y'all already know that. This ain't new. But at any rate, yep. Put your baby around the line and the line go line.
Of course.
And should we read it, leave it there? Let's see, is there any more pressing white people? I can't end the week without talking about this. This is I'm surprised they didn't bring this up when it first happened, and I apologize to everybody out there. In some very, very important white people news this week, Jennifer Aniston's favorite scents are the beach, New York, and Justin Theroux's natural smell.
Is his natural smell in the cologne? Because I don't know what it smells
his
like.
His natural smell, I mean, look, for me, I'm assuming it's sweat, because Justin Theroux be sweating his ass off on the leftovers. I swear, the man.
Oh, okay, I'm about to say, yeah, he got to be in some shit I ain't never seen before, because I was like, I have no idea.
Well, I know we say lip acting, he go to sweat gland acting school, because that nigga be sweating. Damn, he be looking sweaty and dirty every week. Jennifer Aniston, a lover of sand and sea, recently launched a brand new fragrance to join her already impressive collection of scents. The creator of Jennifer Aniston, J by Jennifer Aniston, and Near Dusk has now given us Beachscape.
Not Beachscape!
I do love to spend time, right? We was talking about
Beach Escape.
We've been talking about corn gangs and when will black men defend black women, and white people been talking about, did you know Jennifer Aniston loves the smell of the beach? I might have to get me a bottle.
The smell of the ocean.
I do love to spend time on the beach, that's for sure. Aniston admits via email, couldn't even be bothered to do it in person. God bless him. She loves it so much that the Beachscape isn't even her first scent to draw on the smells of the ocean. So she rebottled the other joints, put in a new bottle of soda to y'all. Add a little bit of cayenne pepper and then just put it back in the bottle. No one loves the beach more
than... Mix it up a little harder.
No one loves the beach more than Aniston does. Proof Aniston once described Jennifer Aniston as the smell of summertime and the ocean and suntan lotion. She said in an interview with people
the
that...
The smell of summertime? What is the smell? Fresh cut grass? What's happening here?
Dead black bodies in the street. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this white people news. I'm sorry.
White people news.
It's probably the smell of... Well,
fresh cut hedges.
No, it's obviously pumpkin spice. It's the smell of
but that's all. You know, that's only winter time.
No, it's the smell of all the times for white women. Pumpkin spice is year round. She said in an interview with People that J by Jennifer also reminded her of a day spent at the ocean, and she shared that Near Dusk was meant to evoke the beach at twilight.
Her next one gonna be Ocean View, gonna be the name of the name of it.
Shark Attack. What have you done for the beach lately? But we wanted
toes
to
toes in the sand. The smell.
But we wanted to know what set Beachscape apart from the rest. That what kind of woman wears it? Which beaches are her favorite? And on a somewhat related note, what does Justin Theroux smell like? We asked her the hard questions, and this is what we found out. And then they really do have this email interview of all these questions, and I'm not reading all of them, but I feel like I've alerted enough people to know where to go.
Just know it's relaxing.
L.com is where you want to go to find out Jennifer Aniston's favorite scents. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's go to some guest the race. And as soon as my guest the race song comes up, I will play it for everyone. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. That's right, it's time for guest the race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room's racist. All right. This is brought to you by Loot Crate. Mm-hmm. Guess the race is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TVGWT and enter code TVGWT and you get $3 off of any new subscription. Look, August is the anti-hero, okay? From bad guys doing good things for the wrong reason to good guys with questionable tactics, August is the perfect time to explore your anti-hero. Follow the hero villain line with this 100% exclusive collection of items from DC Comics, Archer, Dark Horse, and Kill Bill that includes two great collectibles, a wearable, and of course, our monthly tee, and don't forget the pen. I can't wait to see what's in this. I hope I get that eye patch from Kill Bill. That's what I want.
That's a good one.
It's less than $20 a month. You can get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. Make sure you sign up before the 19th. At 9 p.m. Pacific time, or you won't get the August one. Don't forget, you can also go with Loot Crate DX, which is a bigger box where you get more loot. Okay, you can get up to $100 worth of goodies, at least $100 worth of goodies, and it costs you less than 50. So, make sure you guys do this because you're gonna want to get in on this sweet ass loot when we open it up. You're gonna be like, damn, I'm jealous. Look at what they're getting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into guessing the race. A man is being charged after he was caught on camera defecating outside of a hair salon wearing a bra and high heels. A man who was caught on camera defecating in a hairdresser's...
Well, I take our conversation back. Men do wear high heels, y'all.
I tried to tell you yesterday. He's seen touching himself in a parking lot. And he has been charged. The owners of WA Salon Supplies, a training salon in Perth's Midvale, found the disturbing CCTV footage from outside the store early on Sunday morning. Footage shows
he was recording.
Yeah, CCTV is over overseas. They record everything in UK and shit. Footage shows the man who was wearing a skirt, a tank top stuffed with tissues and heels, placed a torch in his rectum and committed the lewd act, all while staring into the cameras.
Oh, was it lit? Well, it was shit. It was lit. Figuratively in real life.
Yeah, the shit was lit.
Yes, it was.
Investigations led to a 37-year-old man being charged with 2 counts of obscene acts in public and driving without a license. He's due to appear in court September 2nd. That's a lot of time. Earlier this week, the store owner, Natasha Newton, told Daily Mail Australia... Oh, this happened in Australia? Okay, never mind. She feared someone had tried to break in and caused damage to the front door, only to get a nasty surprise when she checked the footage. It was very shocking, actually. It's hard to explain because you just don't expect to see that, if you know what I mean. It was very weird. Ms. Newton said she watched a man pull up to a shop in a utility truck before getting out and randomly walking around the car park. He got there and had a good look around and looked right into the camera, and adding that she believed the man wanted to be seen. Well, probably can't get off if you don't get seen.
Right, that's part of the high.
He then went to his car, undressed, played with himself, popped the torch up his you-know-what. He continued to touch himself inappropriately while defecating and releasing the torch in the middle of the car park, all while staring at the camera, she said. The man is seen using a wad of toilet paper before throwing it away from him.
Oh.
Right? Just one wad? Miss Newton said during the 2-hour random incident, the man changed outfits, three times, and in one frame he appeared to be wearing a wedding ring. Guess the race of this man.
He is white, but I mean, you bought outfits. Mm-hmm. Now outfits.
Yep.
You can't prepared, sir.
You had to change. What about you, chat room? What race do y'all think he was? Let's see. Australia kangaroo, Abby having cheese eater, beauty shot 3, crocodile Dundee, white, I guess, crocodile Dun hunky, the kanga cracker, white. I guess he had to throw another shit on the Barbie. The correct answer is he was a white man. Yep, and there he is. Everybody got it right. He was white. Now the footage is in black and white, but he was strutting in them heels, though.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. Doing your thing. Do your thing, homeboy.
I hope this doesn't happen in Wonka. Hope you safe, dog.
Yeah, well, Australia is a big country, and I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure Wonka's out there listening just like us, thinking the same thing we're thinking.
What white nonsense is this?
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes!
I'm sure he's thinking that. Alright, let's go to the bonus round. I don't feel like playing the music. It's late and I'm tired. Let's do an old story. How about this one? A woman repeatedly dislocated her shoulder in order to get $600,000 in pain pills from over 100 hospitals in 11 states.
Well, god damn.
Yeah, she was addicted to that. To that, them pills.
Woo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to dislocate nothing.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, I mean, every time she wanted pills, I mean, she had to dislocate her shoulder again.
Right.
It was like Lethal Weapon. A Pennsylvania woman charged with purposely and repeatedly dislocating her shoulder so she could get $600,000 in painkillers is scheduled to plead guilty. A change of plea hearing for Latrobe resident Kari Richards, 28, is scheduled for Tuesday before a federal judge in Pittsburgh. Richards was indicted last June on charges she defrauded Highmark Inc.'s Community Blue Health Insurance Plan by traveling more than 100 hospitals in 11 states to obtain prescriptions for shoulder dislocations she was causing herself. I mean, how could they not notice? 100 different hospitals, 11 states? And your insurance deductible, they gonna notice,
right? And they gonna keep asking why, and that's probably what prompted the investigation, because the insurance company was like, yeah, dog, she keep filing this claim, like, is she getting abused? Like, what is happening here?
Yeah, they say she during the 16 month period she sought treatment
16 more than
300 times.
Wow.
They say Richards defrauded Highmark Community Blue Shared Cost Plan by obtaining 190 prescriptions for oxycodone and other opiates from January 2014 to April 2015. And other drugs include oxycodone, acetaminophen, and some other shit I don't feel like reading. Richards' attorney declined to comment until after her guilty plea. She faces a maximum sentence of 14 years in jail or a $500,000 fine. Guess the race of Kari Richards.
She is white, because that's the only way you're going to be able to get away with that.
All right. The chat room says Nigrosaurus Rex. That's Leonard Brothers. Mm-hmm. Well, I do declare this Nigris has a lot of pills.
Ah, whole lot of them.
White lifeboat lips. Lifeboat lips. What does that mean? Is that black or white? What is that? A lifeboat lip?
I'm assuming they big.
Come on, man. I need some explanation. Oh, black. Okay. So, okay. Big lips. Got it. All right. Seems like, dislocated her other shoulder protesting Obamacare, says AC. Genocider, says Brilliant Villain. The correct answer is, and, most of you got it. She was actually a white woman. Karen, you 2 for 2. One person did miss it. Yeah. So So that's what she looks like. She looks pretty healthy for a drug addict with a dislocated shoulder. I mean, she must be doing pretty good.
Right. And the insurance company is smart. They're like, hey, we keep getting these claims. Something wrong.
Yeah, that's how you know she was white. She kept using her insurance to do it.
Right. And
black people would have been going to the hospital and signing out with a fake name.
They'd have had to track us down.
Been up in the emergency room getting pills. And plus, they wouldn't have gave us as many pills because, you know, black people pain don't get diagnosed right.
Right.
Here's 2 aspirin. God damn it. Got dislocated again. All right. Thanks, man. I'll be back. Oh, I dislocated my shoulder.
Ah! I got stabbed, apparently.
A Keys man is charged with wielding a samurai sword.
Florida?
A Lower Keys man was jailed Thursday after police say he produced a samurai sword during a family argument that
he
began...
He produced? What? Did he have it in his back pocket?
I think maybe he was DJ Khaled, and he had the keys. He had major keys.
Apparently so.
He was from the Keys. But yeah, he produced a sword by giving it some dope ass instrumentals. During a family argument that began when he overstayed his welcome.
Oh, that was like, you got to go.
Mm-hmm. Guess the race.
White.
I do declare you are correct. When Monroe County Sheriff's Office deputies arrived at the home, the bearer of the samurai sword had his weapon in his sheath. Dwayne Fred Day II, 24.
That name very black though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if this was black folks, they'd be like, he got his ass kicked out. He was on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Then the police came.
Right, yeah. That about sound right.
And black came out in March. Then all the black men said, why y'all gotta be so sassy and loud?
We'll get about your problems, women.
24-year-old who was staying
what you
with,
show up for?
Right. He was staying with his parents, was booked in the Stock Island County Jail on a misdemeanor charge of improper display of a dangerous weapon. He remained locked up Friday on $7,500 bond. Day's father called the police to report his son was on a knife and possibly attempted suicide by cop. Deputies, so of course he's still alive. Deputies say they found Day the second standing behind a boat in the yard with a samurai sword. Day the second was very agitated and was refusing to put the sword down after being asked to do so several times. He kept saying we were there to hurt him. His father, Dwayne Day Jr., Dwayne Day Jr. told police his son had been staying with the family for 2 weeks as a temporary home near mile marker 10 while he was supposed to stay off of the drugs. Mm-hmm. But the younger Day was using drugs the whole time. When asked to leave because everyone in the house was afraid of him, he went crazy, went outside with his father. While his father locked the door behind him, he began screaming at his father through the glass door that he would get a machete and start swinging until everyone is hurt. And the father told deputies he was in fear of his life and those of the rest of his family. Well, that's one way to prove everybody right. We're scared of you. We need you to leave. I will kill everybody in this motherfucker. Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's the problem.
Right, yeah, that's the problem. You're crazy.
He told his father he would do a suicide by cop, but make sure to hurt him, his father, first. Debbie said they talked Day the second down, and he complied with orders to put the sword down. Mm-mm. All right. We will talk to you guys Saturday for our feedback show. Hope you guys enjoyed this week. We got to talk with Nick Jew, JL Covan.
Yes, who was number one now.
Who did make the number one album on iTunes for comedy, guys. So we did it. Stand Up Tips Nation. That's all us. That's all us, baby. Okay? It's not JL's hard work. It's not his promotion. It's not Adam Carolla. It's just us, baby. We did that. We put that misogynist number one on iTunes.
Number one.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys Saturday. Till then, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.